And Alicia, will you be able to come at 11?
Are we going to actually start business with the city council at 11?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be
there. That work for you?
Yeah.
Would it be inappropriate for a guest to come join us at the table?
No, that's fine. Welcome,
please. If you'd like to come join us at the table.
Yeah, please do.
Get started.
After 5 minutes, you might want to leave. Just
hide.
I like the chairs.
I know.
Nice.
I thought I broke one the first time I saw it. I was really concerned.
Guess we can call this meeting to order. And probably be a good idea just for the committee members to introduce themselves and the council liaison. I'm Peggy Hawker with the city.
I'm Councilor Mark Salins, and so this is one of the committees I work with. Or I'm a little grubbier than usual today. I was fixing a pump house and sawing trees up to a few months ago.
Chuck Fornash, volunteer member.
And Bob Hine, volunteer member.
And Alicia Kern, volunteer member.
Marianne Doza, volunteer member and committee chair. Hey, thank you all for coming, and thank you for your interest in this committee. We have two vacancies at this time.
Two
right now. So Dave Team is a member of our committee. Dave, last month, Dave said in an email that he was intending to resign when he came home from vacation. He would be submitting a letter. And I asked him if I could speak to him first before he submits that letter. And with our schedules, I've not had a chance to speak to him yet. So
we don't really know at this point.
So at this point, we don't know. So I don't know if we can, when we get to the interview part of the agenda, we can talk about that. I just want to talk about the strategy so that we don't have to restart.
No, I don't think we'll do that because you now have a pool of applicants. And so if there are other resignations, you can select from that pool or recommend from that pool. Council actually makes the appointments. The mayor does.
Great.
Would it be possible to have guests introduce themselves? I'm not familiar with everyone. Is that appropriate now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Marcia Eckelman.
Hi. Skip Florida.
Amanda
Dupree.
Susan Pollock.
Okay.
And Ken Dennis.
I'm just an observer.
Mm-hmm. Here's a member of the public.
I did want to let you know that I did talk to Dave Team late last week. And he's just hasn't written a letter of resignation yet. Okay. So it is forthcoming.
Okay.
So just to let you know.
I'll take that. Under advisement. So additions, deletions to the agenda. Anything? I'd like to add something, and that is the draft of the letter to the letter to ODOT
for the bridge. Yeah.
Ken drafted some language and I forgot to print it out, but I had emailed it to the committee. So anyway, I'd like to just add that to the agenda. Maybe we'll put that early. Are you staying for the whole meeting, Ken, or should I put it early? You'll be here. Okay, so then let's put it just before the Big Creek Road discussion.
Okay.
Let it to ODOT. Did you bring a hard copy? Did you bring a hard copy of the letter, the piece that you wrote?
I don't think I did.
No, sorry, I forgot to print it. Okay. Anything else on the agenda? Okay. We'll go into the minutes. Anybody have a chance to look? Any changes?
I have a few changes. I got mine first.
I didn't see anything in there that I thought needed changing.
Okay. There's a lot of paraphrasing since I wrote them.
Okay.
So I guess I do have one question. Maybe it's not necessary for the agenda. In reading the minutes, I recalled that I had a conflict and was not at the last ODOT on the Highway 101 stuff.
You did not attend? This was the night before that meeting.
Right. So did people attend? And
Do
we want to sort of...
We were well represented. We had
four
of us were there. Mm-hmm.
So did we want on the agenda a few minutes to just...
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Say what?
That'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Yep. Let's do that.
Oh,
let's do that last.
A few minutes.
Yeah.
Any questions to me? Yeah, my name listed as Lisa Kearns. It's not right. It's Lisa Kearns, for one thing.
Thank you.
Another thing is, Lisa said that the bike paths were considered. Page 2.
Okay.
I would never say bike path. I would say bike routes in that particular concept there.
Again, she says she paraphrased this a lot.
Right, and same thing with the second one. Also, say will not maintain existing bike routes. That's what they don't maintain.
Which paragraph is that, Annalisa?
It
under
fourth
striping?
Paragraph down on second page.
Page 4.
It started with a man to ask how Cheryl this was created.
Right.
Okay, so the trails instead of trails.
No, the first one should be
bike
routes.
Paths. I see it now.
Bike
bike routes.
And
the second one
should be that bike routes also.
And where's the second one?
Or bike. Let's call that bike lanes.
Bike lanes.
We don't maintain bike lanes.
Perfect.
Bike lanes. Thank you for catching that. Did you get the second one?
I think so.
Okay.
It's on page 2, paragraph 4.
Yeah, the first one.
And then the second one.
Where was the second
one? Same paragraph.
In the same paragraph, okay.
That'd be the last word in the paragraph.
Okay. Great. Well, that's the worst I did on those minutes.
That was
proud.
You should be proud. I thought they were good.
I move that the minutes be accepted as corrected.
Second.
Okay.
Meetings were.
We moved and seconded.
So we have to vote.
Yeah.
We never got our Robert's Rules orientation.
No.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
In parks, we never vote on the minutes. We just accept them. The person second them, we accept them.
I like that. Okay. Public comment. Would any of our guests like to? This would be a good chance to introduce yourself and your interest in the committee. Or anything else you'd like to bring up. Ken would like to make a public comment.
I see that on the agenda is the... Bay Boulevard or the Big Creek Road. Mm-hmm. That's something you're going to be discussing tonight.
Yep.
As far as the how the committee views that, etc.
Yep.
I just want to let you know that I do have the transportation system plan for 2009 plan for Newport. You know where it does specify that multi-use path is something that's in the TSP. For Newport, but on that Big Creek Road.
That's correct. I have it here also if you want to see it. I looked it up as soon as I brought that thing up. I got this out and looked it up and saw what was the TSP plan for it. It's not what they're doing.
So the meeting that's scheduled for that Monday night, is that something that was in the works all along, or is that something that's just been added because there's been some controversy?
That's just been added because people seem to want to have a a time to voice their opinion, so that's that time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for that, Ken. Anything else?
I do have the emails that went back and forth between ODOT and Tim Gross about the shows on the bridge. Mm-hmm. I don't have the text of the letter that I put together, but I do have the, you know, the boilerplate that I used.
Okay.
So we will make a plan later in the meeting for how we're going to approach that letter and the text that Ken has provided us as a base for that. Okay. Anyone else?
I have a general question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it goes with the agenda, but it's something I usually notice on the agenda. And I was wondering if something that this committee could do would be to work with the city to try to keep maybe street cleaning, to try to clean the area between the fog line and where the brush starts on Highway 101 between, like, I don't know, 73rd or whatever, and then all the way down, because anybody who's riding there is riding right now, they're riding through gravel grit. Yeah, and that's not all safe if you need to stop. And I see that every winter. It actually gets pretty messy there some other times, but it gets really bad, this, you know, in the fall and all through the winter. And I don't know how safe it is to ride there. And there are people riding as well as walking there regularly now on both sides of the highway from, like,
well, what you do,
55th all the way into town.
Yeah, through town.
So
I just take the lane through town because there's two lanes there, so I'll take the lane. Is there riding through the gravel?
But, yeah, but on Highway 101, yeah, there's only one lane.
So yeah, there's the turn lane, and then there's the two lanes, and there's, so there's just those things on the side.
Yeah.
And especially on the west side, it gets very, very messy. That's the wider one,
yeah,
actually, and it gets very messy. And I was just wondering if that was something small that could add a little bit to the safety of bicyclists, because there are more bicyclists, you know, even just a few more local people. There's a lot of walkers.
Yeah. We've talked about that
a
number of times. It's a recurring wish that we have.
Okay.
So it's good to bring up again for sure.
Yeah, and partly it's coordination between.
Okay. Yeah, I live in that area too.
It's partly coordination between the city and ODOT as well, because there's that overlap of responsibility for highways. So, for instance, I noticed when I was heading into South Beach, they had the sweeper out on the bridge, getting all the excess gravel off.
ODOT,
the city sweeper does do that route
So partly it's that coordination and also timing, and then which areas need it the most. But it's definitely a good thing. I mean, I'm the first to admit that the problem with Highway 20 during the winter, once you have to sand 20 for the first time, you never see those fog lines again until the following spring. You know, I mean, it becomes almost worse driving at night during non-freezing conditions, because there's so much sand out there that's just left there all the time. You know, so.
Well, I'd like to, on that note, I'd like to mention that I live on Nye Street, and the city sweeper actually goes on Nye Street probably at least twice a month, which I think is kind of excessive. I'm thinking that, you know, if ODOT will, you know, pay for the city street sweeper to do, say, that section of 101, because I know the Newport sweeper is the only one that's actually going to do it.
Right.
They might actually want to take a look at, you know, the 101 sections of those bike lanes and stuff, as opposed to maybe some of these other in town ones that they've been doing. As long as they're out there, that might be a better priority for them.
This is something that, you know, we have our priority for the 101. No, that's not the one. That's it. The walking path, or the issues of pedestrians up on that, walking on 101 in that part of town. So maybe we could link that as we discuss this. Link that issue as well.
Part of that, yeah.
As part of that, just looking at.
Is this something that I read in the Oregonian, that there's going to be more of the Oregon Connect grants dedicated to bicycle and pedestrian? I wondered if that was the kind of thing that it could be used for.
Instead of a log terminal, huh? Good idea.
Thank you.
that did catch my ear too on the radio when they talked about the Connectoid and grants. There was a sufficient, there was a large amount that went towards bike ped. I don't know if I've heard of the city applying for anything under the Connect Oregon umbrella.
The city has gotten lots of money from Connect Oregon, but I don't believe that there's a plan to apply this particular round.
When are they due usually? What's
I guess year? It's done.
Yeah,
it's
I think
done.
It is done.
Okay. Well, we can keep that on our radar.
Kind of back to our overall philosophy, we like to try to be in the know about grants and potential funding sources, and that's one that completely got by our group, and it's ready for the next cycle. But I wonder how we might be made more aware of those types of opportunities. How do we get to know that?
A couple of things. One is that when we hear about them, we can let you know. We definitely knew about Connect Oregon. It was discussed at the staff level. But there's also a grant consultant who's working on infrastructure issues.
Right. And Tim, at the 101 Crossings meeting, Tim Gross was there, and he spent some time with Bob and I talking about this grant procurement person that he has that doesn't so much write the grants, but she's out there looking for grant opportunities to match the need with the grant criteria. And it would be really nice for a sustainable loop with that process, because that's what allows us the money to do some of our projects. And so how do we, Connect Oregon is a good example. I mean, there's money specifically for bike ped type things, and the deadline's passed, and we're now hearing about it. So how do we turn that around?
Well, we will talk to Tim and ask him if his grant consultant can keep you in the loop.
Right, I guess when staff talks about it in general, if we have an insight to them talking about it.
Well, we talked about creating a list of questions that we have, and then keep updating that list, taking questions off as they're answered, keep them on there, and that could just be a question that stays on there is, are there any grants coming up that would be of interest?
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But we need to know about them.
Well, connect
8 months in advance.
More than the Friday before the Wednesday that they're due.
Yeah.
That's what I hear about a lot of them.
So if we can keep a running list of these, most of these are annual opportunities, then we'll know what time of year they come up and which meeting we should talk about them in. It's all theoretical, Chuck. It's all theoretical.
Yeah, it's conceptually good.
Could you set up a Gmail account that the committee has access to?
Well, probably not. That's probably... We already have some issues with public meetings law violations, and that could easily happen.
But we could use our existing
committee list. As long as you don't start coming to decisions on the email.
Oh, no, this is just a calendar that
you've
read.
Oh, I see what you mean. A Gmail calendar.
You build up a calendar to just put in. We found out about this grant, here's the thing.
Right.
And then just anything that applies to bicycles and pedestrians.
I see what you're saying.
You can just stick on there and have it notify you like 3 months in advance, hey, start thinking about this.
Mm. Right, and then you'd allow the different administrative users to log in and view it.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that we do that would benefit from calendaring.
In that regard, calendaring in general, I haven't pressed the issue with Newport IT yet, but I did, when I became a counselor and became aware that they're using Gmail, and I use Gmail with the county, I go, gee, it sure would be nice to move towards where we could all just have a single calendar where we go in and see when all the meetings are and anything else that needs to go on there. So there's at least an initial conversation going on regarding being able to do that.
I think the council's using something like that.
Well, that was my first reason, is literally just keeping track of all the meetings that the city councilors have to be at.
No, I think the county council's already using
that. Maybe although we still don't use our Gmail system for really effectively either. I mean, there's so much power in being able to set up schedules and whatnot. So instead, what you'll get is a user who happens to know how to use it, mm-hmm. all of a sudden an official Gmail invite will show up on your calendar, right, because mm-hmm. they know how to do it. But there's no systematic, even with the county, of placing like the Board of Commissioners meetings and all that stuff. So we don't have a really good roadmap, even though all of us sitting around the table know that it can be done.
Yeah, it's a good idea, and we'll talk to IT about it.
So
it would be a useful tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Peggy, would you give us a little overview on the interview process of what
you need to do is you need to interview each person individually. My suggestion is that you mostly just ask them to describe their interest in bicycling and pedestrian activities and, you know, what experience they could bring to the table, and that will elicit other questions. Mm-hmm. But I would start out by asking folks to talk about themselves a little bit, and then the committee can talk later and decide which folks it wants to recommend to the mayor. And if you come to a conclusion tonight, then she can do that Monday.
Mm-hmm. I would just add that in those questionings, although we haven't officially added this to this committee's plate yet, but we did talk at the last meeting about this group being the most likely home for all things multimodal, including busing or whatever other sorts of things. Whatever reduces cars mm-hmm. on 101, those would be things that would be interested in knowing about, I think. Mm.
Would you give our applicants just a quick overview history of the committee?
Sure. I guess, what was it, 12 years ago, Ken? Ken Dennis started the committee as a result of the city council expressing that they would like to form a committee for bicycle pedestrian needs, in part because the needs are there and in part because it's a vehicle to get funding, and you have to create that opportunity when there is a sanctioned committee that goes through the process. And so I guess it was it 12 years ago, Ken?
Yeah, almost 14 years.
Okay. And I think Ken and I have been, I was on there, I think, a couple of years after it started, but as the committee has evolved, we've had opportunities to go after grants and achieve successful grants to do improvements on the east end of Bay Boulevard, above Embarcadero, with some mm-hmm. sidewalks and bike lanes, and we did some improvements on Natterland Drive, leaving the west end of the bayfront up towards the state park. Little projects that we've tried to do is improve just the flow of traffic around the schools or some places at San Bayo. We finally got a little traction there. But we've been a fairly successful committee, and it's always frustrating being on a committee when you want to do projects and there's not money. And there's always going to be that issue. But I think most of us feel like we have had a chance to, you know, kind of make a difference and be involved. I don't know, do you have any specific questions? We meet, as you know, once a month, and we currently have a quorum of seven, so I guess we're choosing three out of four applicants.
You have a committee of seven.
Okay, committee of seven
and a quorum of four.
And we need seven total for our committee, so we're effectively looking for three out of four applicants. Is that?
We have two official vacancies right now.
Two official
vacancies. And we may have a third.
Right. Anyway, that's just a minor overview. I don't know if you have any specific questions about what we do or how we approach things.
I'd like to add one other thing to that. In 2010, the committee actually put together a complete streets resolution to take to the city of Newport. And the city of Newport did pass the complete streets resolution in 2010. And that complete street resolution actually asked the city to make sure that any improvements, any changes, things that are done within the city they take into account all roadway users. That's transit, it's bicycles, it's pedestrians, and it is a resolution that they did adopt, so it is a, kind of a piece that, you know, as committee members, you can use to, you know, kind of justify some of the ideas that you come up with. So there's several tools in the toolbox that the committee has put together over the years to help us integrate with City Council.
How does that work in terms of dealing with the state highway and Interstate 101, which is kind of, it's not a city street, but it goes to the city?
Well, again, well, if you look at the letter that, you know, the committee is tasked to write to ODOT about putting Sheroes on the bridge, anything having to do with Highway 101, if the committee comes up with some ideas that that they like and have a consensus, they can take that to City Council to go to approach ODOT to actually make some changes or, you know, whatever ideas you come up with. But generally, it has to come through the City of Newport.
And to add to that, on 101 specifically, it was our committee that initially came up with the idea of enhancing the crosswalks going through town. And we took that to the city, what, several years ago, and it's been a process. It's taken a couple years to develop. But, you know, within the city, we have some advisory capacity. Mm-hmm. Outside of the city, it's, you know, it's, we can talk to ODOT. Mm-hmm.
ODOT also has its own state and even federal guidelines that promote the same sorts of ideologies that they should be complying with. It's not passed the same way, so that's why I say should. Yeah. They do have the same guidelines.
With that, we could begin our interview process. Is there anyone who would like to go first?
I'd be happy to.
Great.
The father-in-law is delivering our tree tonight.
Oh, yes.
Let me find
your...
Are we going to interview each
other? You don't have to leave, but it's probably more comfortable for the other applicants if.
Sure.
Okay.
There's
seating area out there. We can come drag you in at the appropriate time.
For his attention.
Yeah.
Just momentarily.
One more, Sharon. Thank you for your interest, first of all. Thank you for being here tonight. And I have to say, I'm very impressed that you run 6 miles every day.
Wow.
Where do you usually run?
The Bayfront. I live about 3 blocks from here. And so I go up 20 and then all the way down. And yeah.
Are you on Pender?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw you over getting your hair cut.
Oh, that's right.
And
Monica.
Yeah, Monica. And
oh, yes, Monica.
So...
That's why you look familiar. Yeah,
that's ditto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's your interest?
What's my interest? Well, first of all, I'm retired, and I...
Retired teacher, yes?
Administrator, school administrator. I was at the middle school here for 11 years, so...
When did you retire?
I knew it was 2010.
That's why I recognize you.
You had kids
My
there.
Son Timothy and the band both went through there.
Yeah. So. Anyway, when I retired, I started walking a lot, and you just see so much many different parts of the city. And I don't just do the Bayfront. I also walk on 101 up to Fred Meyer or whatever. If the weather's decent, I'm going to walk. I'm not going to drive the car. I believe real strongly in that. And I'm fortunate. My dentist is close to my house, my bank, Thriftway, you know, everything. So it doesn't make any sense not to do that. But I was listening to your concerns, and it's kind of all things I've thought about before, too, as far as the different things that came up. But I just think it's really important that we have accessible biking and walking, running routes. And I'm not a bicyclist. I admire people who do. I have a horrible sense of balance for someone who runs. So, but anyway, and I just had a real interest in maybe giving back to the community. So
thank you for that.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Because you're more a school administrator.
Yes.
What do you think about students walking and or bike riding to school?
Well, it depends on the age. I'll tell you right now, to me, the toughest place to cross, and I find this myself, is 20. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you're going to any of the schools in Newport, you have to cross 20. Well, there's the, you know, the stoplight.
You don't have to cross 20. I mean, if you live...
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I'm talking about myself. I mean, if you live this side. And, you know, right now there's the crosswalk.
At ease. Yeah.
Right. And cars don't stop. And they don't. I mean, I found that a lot. I think it depends on the age. I think it depends on the student's responsibility. I would not send little grade school kids, probably, especially going over 20. I mean, if they're in walking distance, yes. And we didn't have that many students that rode their bikes to the middle school. But I think if there was a real public awareness, that would be real important because, you know, a lot of times they're going right at 8 o'clock when people are going to work. But I think with the right guidance...
Yeah, see, that's part of this committee's, you know, job is to create public awareness. And part of creating a public awareness is to actually get people out either walking or cycling.
Right.
And I have a prejudice. I mean, I started walking to school in the first grade, and I either walked or rode a bike to school all the way through school, and didn't get run over in the process.
Well, that's good.
And and I know that times have changed, but I don't know that times have changed that much, you know.
I think it depends where you live.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a real good response out of the school system yet on our, like, the bike to school days and our attempts in the past to approach the school to open up, you know, like, there's no place to park a bike at schools.
Yeah,
That sort of thing.
We've talked about how it's not just here, it's like an epidemic around the country where some schools go so far as to not even allow certain kids to ride or walk to school.
Oh, really?
Just because the way they're set up with the buses coming in and all the parents and everything. And so, you know, there's that, you're literally reteaching people to be the way most of us grew up. You know, so.
Yeah, I think it would have to be a huge, you know, more public awareness kind of thing, but I sure would support it.
So what would be, do you have any issues in particular that you'd like to see happen?
Not specifically. I mean, just listening to what you guys were saying, I'm not specifically, except people not stopping at crosswalks. But as I left, my husband said, you tell them. So anyway, but, you know, that's just an awareness, and I think it's, you know, supplying us. It sure makes me a lot more aware of stopping crosswalks, but now you're hearing my high horse.
I was kind of curious. Mark mentioned kind of the multimodal function of the committee as we reach out that way. You've ever ridden the city shuttle bus?
I haven't here.
To's and fro's?
I have not here, but I'm growing up in Salem. I rode the bus all the time, and it certainly is something that I've considered. I mean, let's say I wanted to have gone to the outlets when the weather was bad. I would definitely consider taking that. Definitely.
I come from a little different arena, I guess you might say. My first piece of transportation is the bicycle.
Understand.
My second piece of transportation is walking. My third piece of transportation is the city or the county shuttle bus. And if I have the hall something big, do I take my truck? Okay. So I'm going to make a comment, and then we'll answer a question after that.
Okay.
This is a very action-oriented committee.
Sounds like it.
Okay. We not only make suggestions to the city, we will give them a solution on how to accomplish that suggestion.
Right.
And if needed, we will actually go out and do some of the work ourselves. The city thinks we are a rather maverick committee, by the way. That'd be the sense of an overseer. Anyway, as a result, how should I say this? Are you prepared for, well, first, we welcome any ideas and innovations, especially innovations you might have for this committee. Are you prepared for your ideas, aspirations to wither on the vine?
I'm not finished yet. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the few that will survive will take years to accomplish. This is the way it is here in the city. It's the fact that, I mean, just give me the history of this committee. It's what has happened to us. I'm asking you, are you willing to accept those?
Yes, because...
And work with us on that and not quit on us.
No. Okay. And just so you know, the school district's somewhat that way too, but don't quote me, please.
You're retired now, you're safe.
Yeah, I'm retired, I'm safe, I get the word. I mean, you know, yeah, I understand that completely.
I just see the bicycle as a viable form of transportation.
How do I see it as?
In this city. Because I do. I mean, I ride my bicycle about everywhere. Let's see.
Do you go on 101 on it?
Yes, I do. Go on 101. And by the way, I'm also a runner. So I come in from those fat side also.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, and who knows? I never thought I'd be running, so I might take a
bicycle.
Like
tonight, my lights aren't bright enough to see the road very well, so I switched over to 101. It's a much smoother road to ride on.
To ride on, and there's more lights.
But of course, I had to take the lane, though, because of all the gravel out there right now. It doesn't bother me.
Yes, she brought up a very valid point on that, though, that there is a lot. But, okay, so ask your question again. I don't think I answered it.
Actually, you did.
Okay.
I think she did.
Yeah.
We do have four other applicants, so if anyone else has a question for Marcia.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm excited to be here, as a matter of fact. So, anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your interest and willing to step up and volunteer.
Yeah.
You can send the next one in for a BD.
I will.
Tell them it was really scary.
You guys were real tough, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks for all the time that you guys put in, though, too. And I sincerely mean that. Because I'm on another volunteer committee, and they do take a little time, but it's important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm glad we
so much buzzing.
Did you
go to the earphone?
No, they just looked at me and they said, "Oh, thank God he's here."
Actually, I had one question. Elliot said to me, "I have one question. Do you own a bike?" And I said, "No." And there was this awkward dead silence.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Everyone survived the stroke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be asking you this question.
Oh, sorry.
Did you survive the snow?
I did. We have a puppy, and he thought the snow was just the craziest thing ever. It was really fun.
That's fun.
But anyhow.
So did you try, does this puppy fetch yet?
A little bit. He's more into just bringing it back, showing you that he has it, and then teasing you with it when you try to take the ball and throw it again.
The reason I ask that is even a really well-trained black lab like mine for retrieving, I'll never forget the time that we pulled the old throw a snowball for her instead of something she could see very well, plus she can't smell it very well. So you make a nice snowball and then throw it out in the snow.
Torture.
It was hysterical. She found it, though. She found it.
So cute.
Yeah, the snow really was interesting because I could not ride the bike in the snow or the ice.
Yeah.
And so I started walking. But it was so dang cold and
slippery. Oh, it was.
I mean, you had to walk, watch every step you took.
You couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
Okay, if you lift your head up to, you know, enjoy yourself, down you go.
You're enjoying from a horizontal position, looking up at
so
the sky.
So I ended up taking the shuttle bus.
There you go.
The only thing I was left.
Warmer.
So Amanda, do you own a bicycle?
I do own a bicycle, but to be honest, I'm definitely more of a walker, personally. I just enjoy it a little bit more. I'm not as coordinated on the bicycle,
Do you ride it recreationally? I mean,
yeah, just recreationally.
Because there are some
trails.
Yeah, there are some pretty nice trails in Newport, and I think a lot of times that can get people at least a foot in the door with biking.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
in the Bay Road where you live is right there. Go ahead and keep asking. Yeah. How often do you get out and walk?
We walk at least 4 or 5 times a week, and we haven't lately because the dog is too little to be on public roads, so we walk back and forth across the front yard all the time. But we actually picked our home because it was in a really walkable area. There were a lot of things around for us to go do, and we looked at several different places and concentrated in those walkable areas. We've always lived in places like that where there's restaurants and recreation and friends and, you know, churches, anything that we need for, you know, the little corner market within 5 minutes, because we use it all the time. It's just something that was really important to us when we were buying our home. So we, it gets us out there, and we'll go pick up a gallon of milk or whatever at the market, and then end up seeing a bunch of people. And I found that when I live in those places where I'm walking more, I know my neighbors a lot better, and I can reinforce the safety. If I see someone near someone's home who I know they don't know, it's been something that's been really positive for the neighborhoods that I've lived in, that kind of social cohesion that comes from the natural surveillance of people walking and knowing one another. So it's been kind of a social thing for me as well, which I really enjoy.
So I have, so you are very highly qualified in this field, obviously being a professional. And I know for myself, I have not wanted to volunteer in areas that are related to my work. That overlap has been a little difficult for me in the past. How do you feel about that?
I think that my background is very heavily in the design fields, and I don't know how many artists, designers, architects you've encountered, but we very rarely stop designing. We very rarely stop talking about it. We always end up marrying people in our fields because we're incapable of stopping talking about design. So this kind of thing is something that I'm super passionate about. It's part of why I went into the career path that I did, so that I could do that on a daily basis. But it's also something that's just near and dear to my heart. So volunteering in it, I can do projects in town as an architect, as a planner, that can really positively impact one site maybe, but volunteering at a larger scale and a planning scale like this is something that I won't do as much professionally, and I can do a lot of good and contribute on a totally different scale. I can build a sustainable building, and that's great, but if I can create a more sustainable morphology in terms of the block structure and how the streets are working, then I think that's very, very different for me and just as inspiring. So I'm happy to do it as my day job and in the evenings. It's something I'll probably be ranting and raving to Dustin about when I'm watching the news anyway. So I might as well do some good with it.
Do you think there'll be any conflict of interest?
There could potentially be with certain sites where maybe I have a project that's ongoing where it would be heavily impacting the street. And in that case, I would just make that very clear that this wouldn't be something I'd be able to weigh in on because it would positively or negatively impact my project. We're doing some work now in town even where we're going to be changing the site design, and we're always thinking of how to more positively impact the streets. So nothing that's on the priority list right now for the committee, but that's something that I'm going to be doing within my projects as well. So my goal is that can be a positive, sort of symbiotic, that my projects can positively enforce the goals of the committee without being in conflict.
Did you have any interest or exposure to the 101 crossing workshops that took place? I guess there were a couple of them.
No, I didn't.
I didn't go to the first one, but went to the second one, and that was kind of an interesting experience, because at least at the second meeting, it was pretty much designed as part of what was to be. And one of the things I think it was frustrating to me is when we first heard about those crossings, it was possibly an opportunity to do something by way of street beautification, in addition to functionality. And the reality is the funds are there barely to do the infrastructure for the crossings, and the beauty marks that might be involved, you know, kind of are secondary. And I'm just curious how aesthetics, you know, how you look at aesthetics playing into things like that. I guess what I'm saying is it would have been really nice to have an aesthetic component to it laced in, even if it was phased or whatever, but just some thoughts there.
Aesthetics is a hard word because you can very rarely sell it. A lot of my background in terms of the pedestrian bicycle advocacy is in master planning for military installations, and if you go to a general, you know, we want to beautify this street,
right,
it's just no go. So there are other lenses through which you can look at those challenges, and instead of looking at it aesthetically, you can look at it in terms of sustainability or in terms of safety,
right,
which are then pots of money in and of themselves.
Right.
So any decision that you can make that would benefit the aesthetics,
right,
you just have to be very cognizant of more responsible ways to advocate for it, because people, in terms of budgets now and things of that nature, it's just aesthetics is never the right choice for this type of forum, in my opinion.
Right.
It's something I've encountered for years working with the military, and there are better ways to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah,
I always say we sneak aesthetics in when we do planning,
yeah,
just
right,
by being very smart about how we're,
yeah, we're
planning
into
the structure.
And we're kind of into ecotourism and to making our city more pleasing to the visitor as well as the,
sure,
the resident. So we always have kind of that dual thing.
Right.
And you're serving both audiences.
Absolutely. And then you kind of leverage for the businesses a more aesthetically pleasing, heaven forbid we use the term, that type of environment will, there are correlations in terms of dollars spent in businesses adjacent to those types of environments. So there's all kinds of studies that you can use to promote the aesthetics, but as a secondary goal, you can, you know, we're advocating for safety, or we're advocating for the businesses adjacent to this area. And there's this happy coincidence that we're also making it more beautiful for the people who live here. Kind of thing.
Creative.
You see the bicycle as a viable form of transportation.
Absolutely.
If so, what obstacles do you see here in Newport to prevent that from happening?
I did a study in my last term of college with a professor. We were looking at two different neighborhoods in Clackamas. One was very new urbanist, meaning it had a lot of the alternate forms of transportation that were very accessible, smaller blocks, different sorts of infrastructure that supported it, and one that was very typical, big looping cul-de-sacs and very poorly connected, much more difficult to bicycle. And we asked the same sets of questions to people: do they bicycle? If so, where? And if not, why not? And the overwhelming response was, it's just not convenient and it rains. So I think that some of the things here in Newport that are difficult are that there are some areas where the blocks are maybe 1,000 feet and they're very curvy, and if you're going from here to here, you might have to go all the way around. So some of those things are very impossible to fix because the streets are the way they are. I think with new development in the future, we just need to be very cognizant of the recommendations we're making in terms of how that infrastructure can better support our goals. And then there's really nothing you can do about weather. And I think the people that start to bicycle, especially as gas becomes so much more expensive, start to see it as a viable solution. And the more we see people bicycling, the more people say, hey, maybe I should do that. So I think it's kind of a catch-22 for a while, but if you look at Eugene, it wasn't all that long ago that bicycling wasn't terribly common. I mean, there were bicyclists there for a very long time, but it has snowballed. The more you see it, the more you do it, and vice versa.
Anyone else have a question? No. Well, thank you for your interest. We really appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Stepping up and volunteering to volunteer.
Absolutely.
And,
thank you.
I guess we probably should have made it clear that once we do the interviews, everyone's welcome to come back if they want to participate in the rest of the
week. Yeah, if you would let them know, Marcia said that she had to leave anyway.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Well, she's up and walking at 5 by my house.
I guess. 5 o'clock.
Over my coffee. I'll go tag the next victim.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Amanda.
Thanks a lot.
At the end, after the interviews, then what's our process?
Then you will discuss the applicants and figure out which ones you want to recommend. Yeah, if they want to be in here. Hopefully they
could. I think we would probably want to discuss which ones we approve of before they come back.
Yeah.
Well, you can, unless they come back, but they can come back.
How about we put it to the end of the meeting?
Yeah, that's
and then
fine.
If they want to stay for it, they can.
Come
on in. Yeah.
Would
you
like
to wherever you like. We're not that formal. No assigned seats. We mix it up every month. Well, thank you for your interest in this committee. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit more about your interest. why you want to join this raucous committee.
I guess I thought I said it mostly was that I, well, for one thing, I have been really encouraged by the number of long-distance bicyclists that I've been seeing. I think it's great. What I've also kind of liked is the fact that, I don't know who did it, but the city made some effort to protect the people going to the farmer's market with those yellow
right.
things. I think that's really great because there are a lot of people that are walking there. And that, in fact, that's where I go. I'll usually park near the library. Sometimes I'll walk all the way into town, but sometimes I'll just come to the library, and then I do cross the highway there, and it's really nice to have an additional safety thing. I guess I'm kind of interested in seeing partly how Newport works out, but I seem to be a common problem. I've seen it in other places, but I see a lot of the Northern Coast, which is, what is 101? Is it a main street or a highway? And how, if at all, are pedestrians and bicyclists going to get included in that? I do walk a lot in Newport, and I cross the highway quite a bit, and it can be pretty bad. It was, when I first came to this town, I could not believe how polite the drivers were in the wintertime. I mean, it's like, I come from New York, you know, where people are kind of nasty sometimes. And here, I can still remember stepping off the curb and putting my foot down because I was going to try to make it to the center lane, the turn lane on the highway, and everybody stopped. And I looked around to see where the police were or something, if there was an accident. Everybody had just stopped for me. So it was so impressive when I first got here.
Not anymore.
this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you can see as soon as you get here that there's this problem of ODOT wants to push the traffic through. Newport seems, I personally would like to see a truck bypass, but so far Newport, city of Newport seems kind of bent on pushing all the traffic through on 101, not having an effective bypass for heavy vehicles. So you have to work with this, how do people get from one side of the city to another, and how do you do it safely, and how do you do it without a vehicle?
But hopefully we're starting to resolve that crossing 101 with the ODOT is going to put enhanced street crossings in on about 8 or so, is it 8 or 10
okay.
sidewalks in the city.
I read about that.
Yeah, and it'll happen starting in the spring, and there'll be, in the north end, there'll be bullnoses and safe areas halfway across, you know, to where you can stop mm-hmm. instead of stopping in the turn lane. And we'll have better lighting, better markings on the other ones in downtown, so that is being addressed.
Not many towards the north end of town, though.
Not many towards the north end of town. We have, I think 15th and was it 10th or 11th, and then 3rd are the main ones going across in the north end. And yeah, you're right. There's not enough. Those are things, you know, possibly to be addressed in the future. And it is a big question. It's a 101. You know, how do you do that? And it's something I think the city is just going to put off forever because ODOT pretty much has a strain of it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I guess what I'm seeing is that the bicycle and pedestrian community are already making steps to try to make it more possible. And it would kind of be nice to be a part of that. As well as to try to work with the issue of how do you keep the people safe that are walking into town from Agate Beach and North Newport?
Well, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
It says here that you stopped bicycling.
Yeah, I did. Except in my neighborhood.
Well, those of us in this committee who haven't stopped bicycling yet, I would like to know if A, you ever intend to start bicycling again, and what would you want to do in this town to make it safe enough for you to start bicycling again?
A, I'd like to be able to avoid the diesel fumes in my face. That would be great, going up 101 to where I live. 1 year ago, Mike Schoberg told me that...
Well, that is a number of years ago.
Whoa. Yeah. I'm trying to remember now. I can't remember the exact street numbers now, but he said that the right-of-way is actually very wide in part of 101, and there's actually space. It's all trees now. It's before you get to, like, Best Western and Agate Beach Wayside. I just can't... But it's south of Lighthouse Drive, so... is that there's a section where the right-of-way is so wide, I mean, at the time, this is what he told me, I've never actually checked the map to make sure, that you could actually have a separated bike path. Bike and pedestrian path. It would be on the west side of the road, I believe he was talking about. There's a lot of homes there, and then that one more before it isn't selling, it's that stretch there. And, but also, I mean, basically, when you're going up the slope to Lighthouse Drive, you've got the trucks, like, you know, exhaust is like right in your face, and people do not respect that bike path. Bike lane, sorry, it's not a path, it's a lane. So that is what it would take for me, is to be able to go up there, A, without having to worry about people kind of going into that bike lane, that it would be clear because the city sweeper would be going at it, and so that I could come back up that hill without having truck fumes in my face and blowing around, because that was one of the things that I would start. I was smoking then. I'm not smoking anymore when I used to do it, but I would almost be wheezing, assuming I actually made it. I'm not that good a cyclist anyway, so I often, you know, kind of ended up not making it all the way up that long hill. So, yeah, that's kind of what it would take for me. Right now, when I walk into town, which I do mostly in the summer, you know, I can walk down a Lucky Gap and walk all the way to the beach. And it's a nice walk.
Yeah.
Lighthouse Drive, what do you mean by Lighthouse Drive?
I'm just trying to figure out. The light is for the lighthouse?
53rd. Yeah. 53rd, the lighthouse.
The last, very last light in town.
When you turn for your corner head on the north side of town.
Okay, because on the north, on the south side of that, there is a bike lane.
Just for a ways.
Just a little smidge there.
Yeah, it's a very short one.
Okay. That's a bike lane comes all the way into town, all the way up to 25th.
Sort of.
So well, see, but some
safest
of that
place
area,
I ride.
Apparently some of that area could be a separate actual bike path, which would be, I mean, if we could have something like that,
it's not the diesel fumes bothered me, it's the automobile fumes bothered me. Every damn exhaust pipe is on the right side where I am.
If I would have known, I would have brought hot chocolate for every night.
I cough.
Do you walk much in town? And what difficulties do you see in getting around in town walking outside of crossing 101?
Well, I almost got hit once. Twice I've been almost hit in crosswalks. The worst one was at Olive and 9. People, sometimes tourists just roll through there in the summertime. They kind of don't see it. I think they're looking at the ocean. And other times, people have just been in a hurry, and they saw me coming, and they floored the went faster. So, but other than that, especially because there's more sidewalks now, they were put in, all those new ones, going down to the bayfront and stuff like that. That's actually a big help. And to tell you the truth, I grew up in the suburbs, and some of the suburbs I lived in, partly in the suburbs, they had no sidewalks. I got used to walking on the street.
Yeah.
There's no sidewalks in my neighborhood. And there's not, the traffic is very slow in my neighborhood usually though, so I'm fine with that. Highway 101's kind of iffy. just because of all the distracted drivers. Mm-hmm. But Newport is actually still reasonably walkable. Good. The noise, I would love to see the city of Newport actually enforce its loud vehicle ordinances, which they do have. That would make life a lot more pleasant. Safety, I don't think, is an issue, but pleasant.
Have you ever ridden the city boot bus to facilitate your back and forth?
Yes, and I used to ride it 2 to 3 days a week exclusively, not drive at all, until they stopped serving in my end of town after 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 30.
And also, Dial-A-Ride doesn't go after 3:30 either.
How far out north are you?
I'm north, just north of Pequena Head.
Okay.
As of, I think it was their new April, was it their April schedule? They stopped serving North Newport after 3:30, if you want to use the bus, you have to go sit at Fred Meyer for like an hour and a half and wait for the county bus.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah.
The issue I have is with the bus comes up to the City Hall and sits there.
The layover, you mean? Or?
The city bus will come up to City Hall.
But you mean, are you talking about the layover? Or?
Yeah, the layover.
Yeah. Well,
that just screwed me up royal. I'm trying to get the aquarium.
Oh,
yeah, we've been trying. South Beach trying to get some better connections. We're very happy now with the Coast Valley bus, but if you want to take it to City Hall and catch another bus, you've got hours and hours of wait, or you've just missed it by 5 minutes, the bus you want. And so we really would be good if we could work with the county on that issue, because they have some good service and some good routes, and they just aren't really open to changing the schedule. It's very disruptive for their customers when they change a schedule, so they don't want to. But that would be something good for us to get involved in.
There is one thing that somebody mentioned to me. This is more the multimodal kind of, well, semi-multimodal, I guess, two buses, that somebody mentioned to me, and it's primarily tourism-oriented. I was talking with a friend of mine in Corvallis about using the Coast Valley Express, because I've taken it several times to go to work, actually, because I work once a week in Corvallis. And that new morning bus is perfect for me. I have a great work day that way. And so when we were talking about, she likes the coast, and she said, oh, you know, she has two kids, you know, about this big. And she's like, oh, I'd like to be able to maybe take the bus to the coast. She said, but where does it go to? And I said, well, it goes to City Hall. And she said, well, what do I do after that?
Yeah.
City bus, loop bus doesn't meet it. It's not even running when that's late bus comes, late bus, when I take after work.
But you can't put your bike on the Coast Valley.
She's got two little kids at night in the wintertime.
Yeah,
you know, she likes the Sylvia Beach Hotel. That's a long ways to go with maybe a suitcase and two kids. So, you know, if people are thinking about multimodal transport, just getting your buses somehow, at least in the summertime.
Absolutely.
And I know there were people that wanted to go last summer when I was taking the bus more. There were people that wanted to take it to the, come on, brain. The South Beach Marina RV Park in the evening. They wanted to, you know, go across, take the bus over, go eat on the bayfront, and then go back. They didn't want to have to walk back, and the bus doesn't run then. So
the ship's crews would love that too.
I bet. Yeah. That's right. They would.
So I'm really interested in your work with that Amtrak committee. How did you stumble into that?
I was riding the train quite a bit, and they had an ad on the website. Huh. They said, we're looking for members. They want people from all over the country. Anybody who rides frequently. They particularly want people with impairments, with any kind of disability or impairment, because that's a big thing of the committee, is work is making sure, how do you put it, making sure that everybody can ride the train. That's kind of what they want. So they need people who have those types of different needs, which can just be a woman with small children. They have special needs, too. They call it special needs. Mm-hmm. That was one of the committees I was on. It was a lot of fun. We could not affect, you know, we couldn't make Amtrak run on time, which is what everybody wants, right? What we could do was work with them to how they could make not being on time not so difficult for the people riding it. So we would suggest things like, and we got, you know, they would listen to us. Telling people, we think it's going to be about this long. This is what's causing it. You know, information.
Yeah, yeah, that would be handy.
So customer, it was basically what we helped them with was customer service. It was one of the ACAC members, not when I was there, she was just leaving when I came on, who got the quiet car concept. She commuted from Philadelphia to DC every day. And once cell phones came in, it was just driving people nuts. And so sure. They pushed for the quiet car, which has been very successful on every train line that they've tried it on. People love it. If they could just, they have trouble enforcing it, but people love it. What else did we do? We did baggage surveys. We did anything to do what we consider to do would improve Amtrak's customer service, we could do.
And where were you living at the time?
Yeah. I got stuck in really bad traffic once on I-5 and I was 90 minutes late. And after that I started taking the train and I've never been this late unless I'm taking the coast. The Cascades has never been that late. So I was riding the train a lot. And then I started taking it back to New York sometimes.
I'd love to
relax.
Yeah. Well, we are kind of fortunate between Eugene and think it even goes north to Vancouver.
It goes all the way to Canada.
Well, they have those extra trains beyond the Coast Starlight. And right. Those tend to run out of time. Yeah. Because
yeah.
I've used them, too. I used to experiment with taking the train to Sacramento when I used to have to go there a lot for business. The one great thing about them running late is it ended up giving me enough time to get my free breakfast before I got off the train. Because technically it wasn't scheduled to occur until later in the trip. And it's like, oh, all right, it's good.
It's a really nice way to travel.
Yes, it is.
And I would love to see, I mean, when you talk about multimodal, I mean, my fantasy is to have a train coming down to Newport, to the port. And be able to, and ODOT, the guy at Rail, one of the rail people at ODOT has told me there is a county right-of-way that a train could run on.
And stand right behind you as you're pushing that.
It would be so great. It would take care of freight. I mean, directly into the port.
Well, you know what the response, the official response to that is, since GP is really the only one using the current tracks, the whatever they call it, the quality of the track, the level that it can take, even that train only runs at like 10 or 20 miles an hour. So I, that's not that I disagree with you, but it was allowed to go so far the other way that it no longer can handle the kind of speed you'd have to have for a passenger. But that doesn't mean we should give up on it, because it would be just fantastic.
That's true, but you can maybe improve the track. I mean, nobody's really tried.
Yeah.
Anyone else have a question for
Skip?
It could be the Coast Sunrise runs from Portland to Newport daily.
Yeah. You know, I had a conductor tell me once from the Cascades when I was coming back, and said, well, where are you going? And I said, well, my final destination is in Newport. And he said, you know, if we were going to Newport, this train would be full.
Yeah.
So I think it would be. Right. And they take bicycles on the Cascades. You don't have to box them. It's only $5 more.
That's right. Exactly.
It's one of the only lines that that's true.
That's what I do.
Oh.
Okay. I take it down to Southern California.
Does the Coast Starboard let you do that?
I got to slip out.
I thought it was just the Cascades. Cascade allows you to hang
the box. But the five hours more, you put in the box.
That's what I thought. In Cascades, you don't have to box it.
Right.
Anybody else? Questions? Well, thank you so much. That was fun.
Thanks, Susan.
Would you send Skip in? Thanks.
It's on 85.
It's not 85 in here.
Is it cold in that end of the room?
Oh, yeah. We're about to shivering over here.
It's cold
here.
Over here.
Yeah.
All those windbags at this side.
Tend to run a little hot anyway.
Hello there. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, yep.
Must feel like a long time when you're waiting, huh? Sounds like a party out there, though.
We're having a good time. Just getting to know everybody, comparing backgrounds, experiences.
Well, thank you for being interested in serving on this committee.
Oh, yeah, and I'm probably the first to admit I don't know that much about pedestrian issues. I know a little bit about bike issues because it's the first thing that, you know, when it came to town, you know, my wife and I got bikes. But, you know, I was brought up, you know, my mother always told me, you know, if you're not doing something for your community, you're not really part of your community. So, where I used to live down south in California for 41 years, I did PTA and soccer board of directors, Little League board director for years, volunteered different things with our church, baseball umpire for about 30 years. I'm too old for that now. So
it's not a thankless job, thank you.
Well, it's giving back to the community. You know, so I don't know that much about, like I said, pedestrian issues, but I'm just a good place to get my feet wet and see what needs to be done. And if you need a person like me, that's fine. If not, you know, I'll find something else. I'll find my own little niche somewhere. But I saw the thing on the website that would be interesting to see what's going on and become involved somewhere in the community. So that's me in a nutshell.
you are a cyclist, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I mean, not an avid cyclist. It's, you know, recreational. Mm-hmm.
And are you a walker also?
I don't walk that much because I have peripheral artery disease where I can't walk great distances. My legs bother me. Mm-hmm. So, but I can cycle all day long. No issues there.
Good.
Because it's a different type of, you know, stress in your legs.
Yeah, what are the biggest issues you think that you've seen so far in Newport as far as our committee is set up to, you know, help cyclists, to help walkers, to help people use alternative forms of transportation to get around town. What's the biggest thing you could think of that would improve alternative transportation?
Bicycle safety for the kids going to school. Mm-hmm. You know, where I came from, they'd have twice a year, like at fall break for kids to school, and also right after Christmas, because kids could be bicycles and upgrading bicycles. A day where volunteers get together to teach bicycle safety and make sure everybody had proper fitting helmets, make sure their brakes worked. They set little cones and have, you know, kids, you know, check their balance and just bicycle awareness.
Who sponsored those?
There's fire department, along with the City of Paradise. They have a recreation department, so it's kind of co-sponsored. And then the grocery stores that supply, you know, drinks to the kids and snacks and things like that. For the pedestrians, crosswalks are a big issue, especially in the summer, you know, with all of the tourist traffic going through. The place where I lived was a high population of retired people, so when they were using the crosswalks, they didn't have the time to get across the intersections. So I saw in the paper here where they're putting islands out, which I think is really good. There are a couple of really high crosswalks down where I came from where they were poorly marked, and they put like little LEDs within, so they push the lights and the pedestrians had the go signal that kind of flashed so oncoming traffic would know somebody was in the crosswalk. But again, it takes money. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that everybody's lacking is money right now. But I think it would really be good to do something with the crosswalks, especially not really downtown, but in the outlying areas, like from Olive up to where Walmart is. Mm-hmm. Those crosswalks, people going back and forth to Burger King and McDonald's, and they're not even marked, some of them.
That is a dangerous area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that they're targeted, but
yeah, we'll get some action on that north end, but not enough, I don't think. But it's right. Got to start.
You know, and again, I have to say that I'm not really up to speed on a lot of the issues because, like, you know, I've only been in town for 2.5 years. Okay. But I figured, you know, I'd come and see what's going on and volunteer my time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And if I'm not chosen, you know, hopefully I'll be free to come in and sit in and see what's going on. Just kind of keep. I've got plenty of time to kill.
Yeah, you're always welcome at our meetings, and I appreciate you wanting to be part of the city committee structure, and there are a number of committees, and so, you know, in addition to this one, so, but we appreciate your interest
in this one. I appreciate the opportunity to sit in and just, see what's going on. I'm retired, and it's either I can sit on the couch and do nothing with the rest of my life, or, you know, become involved and do something. And I, you know, chose the latter because I'm just the type of person.
Is there one thing in the city that you would want to see changed as far as the improvements for accessibility for bike and pedestrians?
To be honest with you, this area is set up a whole lot better than the place I came from.
Where was that?
Paradise, California. There weren't any bike lanes. They did take an old railroad right away, make it a walking path and a bike path, from one end of town to, you know, to the other, which is really nice because it's got people off the main road. Because of the high population of retired people, like 70 and above, they're always hitting not only bicyclists but pedestrians, parked cars. I mean, it's...
Ouch.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, Newport is really a lot better than some areas I've seen, believe it or not. I like what they've done with the sheriffs going through town, you know, going through, yes. Okay. That is really nice.
We're starting.
Yeah.
That's been a big thorn in our side trying to get that system expanded. Mm-hmm. We're just beginning. But thank you for that.
Ken's got the eyebrow up back there.
I really thought it was a good idea, and I mentioned to my wife, because she used to live down in Sacramento, right near University of California, Davis, and Davis is a big bike town. Mm. And they have bike paths, and they have the sheros and the wide bike lanes, and everybody's really cognizant of bicycle safety down there because that's the way the students go to and from the campus. And no sooner we moved here and saw the thing in the paper, we're redoing the bike lanes and marking with the sheros, and I think that's a lot to improve the motorists' recognition there are bicycles around.
Exactly. Mark, could you take that portion of the recording to the next city council?
Well said.
A little excerpt. So you knew them as such in California. They were integrated into the community thought process down there.
And Davis has kind of been on the leading edge as far as bicycles, Bicycle Town USA. They've been really proud of that. And that train of thought can move its way up to Chico, because Chico State's right near where I used to live. And that's a big bicycle town too. It's a party town, but it's also a bicycle town. And they're incorporating a lot of the ideas, from Davis into bicycle safety there in Chico. Because when I went to Chico State, they didn't have bike lanes. It was like, make the sign of the cross and pedal to class. Of course, that was the 70s. But what do you guys do on the committee? I was kind of interested about that. What is your long-term goal for bicycle and pedestrian safety?
We are an advisory committee.
Right.
And we come up with suggestions, ideas to present to the city council on how to improve things. Sidewalks, there's always the issues of putting new sidewalks in the town. Crosswalks, we've put in suggestions. The Highway 101 crosswalks are partly because of what we've been discussing for the last 4 years. Natterland Drive coming up by the Coast Guard Station, our group got a couple of grants, and we had that improved with the sidewalk and the bike lane and the repaving. We put a bike lane out on Bay Road out there, and the sheros are an ongoing part of our projects. We've got a bunch of other suggestions that we've presented, and it all takes time. You have to have patience to be on this committee. We make a suggestion, and if we can find funding or the city can find funding, they'll run them through. A lot of things that we suggest, we just have to sit on. And it's a good experience, but it's a slow process.
Mm-hmm. You asked a question that Mom answered. My number one goal is to see be able to get around town without using 101. We've been working on bike routes with green sheros on the roads, but no bike lanes because those cause conflict with motorists. That's our opinion on that. So if we ever accomplish getting bicycles around town here without using 101, we would have been a major, major point. But we have not yet.
You will.
6 years.
Does anyone else have questions for Skip? Well, thank you so much for your interest in this committee.
Sure.
Really
yeah. Like I said, if it doesn't work out, you know, you don't need me. I hope you feel comfortable if I sit in and observe.
Please come anytime. They're public meetings. You're always welcome. I mean, yeah, in addition to the fact that they're public meetings and anyone can come in, you're always welcome. We would like to see you and have your input.
I do have a question about the bridge. So it seems like every summer you see the people who make the yearly jaunt from the north down to the south riding on the bridge. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Rather than walking their bikes across the bridge?
Absolutely.
I didn't think you were supposed to ride across the bridge. Is that allowed? Yeah. I've heard different.
You see that sign at the front of the bridge, when the light is flashing, bicycles are on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that sign is for.
So
that the bicycles are on the bridge.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to slow down to 30 miles an hour.
I've always walked. I just thought it was safer.
If you're trying to ride from Vancouver, British Columbia to San Diego, getting off and walking is probably not number one on your priority list.
True.
Yeah. And even if you're a commuter here in Newport, getting off and walking is not number one on your priority list.
I was a commuter across Out Bridge for 25 years. I figured out that I've got about 5,000 or 6,000 miles on that bridge alone. And I've ridden it most times, and it's been the safest way to get across it. But it is a personal choice.
Yeah, sure.
Someone doesn't approach it when they feel comfortable walking. Someone will want to walk it because it's
different
like that. It's a pretty narrow bridge as well, too. So walk really well.
And answer your question.
I'm the one that got the license.
We should step out in the hole.
Right. We went out the way now.
Fantastic idea.
For your opinion.
I'm not done yet. Sure, I was on the bridge in my next.
Okay, well, thanks everyone. I'd like to suggest that we move on to developing the presentation for the City Council work session, and that at the end of the meeting is the last item. We'll discuss the interviews, and so then we'll give us all a chance to mull it over a little bit. So the council work session, so if that's okay with everyone, to add that to the schedule then. So the council work session, Mark, I wonder if you could just quickly just give us an overview of how much time we have and what's expected of us as far as a presentation and where the give and take is, and just how does this go?
Well, this will be a trial balloon, but I think it can be a very effective trial balloon, and by that I mean it's not something the committee has done in a while. And I think based on the discussion we've been having for the last couple of meetings, this is an opportune time to basically come in with kind of a compromise both directions, and by that I mean you guys are working on your priority list. We've talked a lot about prioritizing that list, but then in addition to that, my thinking is one of the items I'm willing to push as a city councilor is more specific identification of the monies that will be used for those projects. We talked about that at the last meeting, and literally, this money is for these things that we're doing. And I know I'm not being very specific at this point, but I'm hoping that what you'll get is some buy-in from city councilors who are seeing that, the budget's down low enough to where virtually every activity within the city budget is needing to do that. And it seems only fair to me that if this committee is, when Chuck was saying earlier, the money's not there, the other problem you guys face quite often is the money is there, but the staff time is not there. So I would highly encourage you to list those things. Not to remove the long-term items, but to list those things in the order that can be most productive, meaning the easiest ones to get done first that are important. We talk a lot about inventorying sheros and continuing down that route. I'm even willing to go so far as, if staffing is a problem, but we have the inventory, then maybe we need to think about some money set aside so that somebody additional could be hired during the summer for working on that particular aspect, those sorts of things.
I'm still a little, it's hard for me to picture how this meeting goes.
Well, so ideally you would have...
Is the whole council there?
The whole council will be there.
And staff, who will be there from the staff?
Staff, typically there. Peggy will be there for that particular meeting.
City manager will be there.
City manager will be there. Do we have any other staff coming, given the agenda
items? Possibly Ted will be there because there's just going to be a little transition.
Right.
And then I doubt Tim will be there, not unless he has a particular item.
Right. So, which may be advantageous at this point.
Yeah, so maybe as we develop the agenda for the meeting, then maybe we can see if it would be appropriate for Tim to be there, because...
Isn't that kind of key to our goal?
What I'm thinking will happen is, and this kind of gets back to one way of going that I was suggesting, is that you get some buy-off on the general concept of what you're trying to do and the direction you're going with the specifics, then the many city councilors are committing to a much more deliberate priority setting session this upcoming year, meaning that rather than just pulling the department heads together and the city councilors get a presentation and we look at everything and then we approve it, there's actually a commitment out there to have more of a public involvement part to that. And so I see it as kind of a two-phase. Step one is renewing the priorities that this committee has at this work session. Step two is following through with that into the actual priorities that get set.
Okay. I think it's a little simpler than what you're saying, because we already did this.
Right.
I understand that, and you can reiterate.
So one way that we can approach this is to just give this presentation again, nothing on it has changed, quickly go through the whole thing in 5 minutes,
right. And
just refresh that, and then say, okay, priority one, what is needed? About 160 more to go. The question that we have on this one is very simple. How do we get in the queue?
Right.
And that's what we discussed last time.
So my question is that 100?
Well, be really 160. I've narrowed that down to probably about between 100 and 120 now.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Long as you do the updates of the various pieces,
and cost per each with a project total would be absolutely appropriate. Individual counselors can say, it's going to take $12,000 to pull this off.
Yeah, and I did forget the unit cost on one of the sheriffs.
And one of the things
you mentioned at the last meeting about a room tax dollars possibly being used for something like that.
I was here first. One of the things we talked about is that, Tim agreed to, that as the paving happens, the sheriffs will happen. So what we're trying to do is say just be in the queue so that don't forget that.
Right. Well, more appropriately, sheriffs don't want to be placed, the high quality of thermoplastic sheriffs don't want to be put in areas that are going to get overlays in the future.
Correct.
That's correct.
Not necessarily the way to do them, you know, when we're doing paving, but kind of make sure that the paving doesn't.
Yeah. Initially, they were going to, Nye Street is due for an overlay at some point in time, and initially, they were going to paint sheriffs on Nye Street.
Right.
And then after the overlay is completed, they were going to come back and put the thermoplastic down. And, since everything else has been held up, it's kind of a moot point right now. It's getting the sheriffs back into the priority list. And part of this work session too is reestablishing the chain of communications.
Right.
Between us and the city council and the public works department.
Mm-hmm.
Because that chain of communication, has changed and it hasn't been replaced.
Right.
And, we talked at our last meeting of actually having us as a committee putting our ideas, down on paper, and to have Mark present, those ideas to, the city council at their meetings. you know, instead of just having it in the packet.
Right.
Because, you know, frankly, that, you know, we haven't had that direct line of communications for 6 months. We're not going to have that direct line of communications, you know, for quite some time that I know of. And so, you know, establishing, you know, this route, mm-hmm. You know, is, you know, in order to get that list pushed through,
yeah.
we need to have it presented in a way that it's going to get acted on.
And I wasn't
I would suggest that we could develop that report
correct.
Through actually yeah. talking through these correct. Priorities
yeah.
and
yeah,
find
I,
out what their expectations are.
I wasn't meaning
are.
To sound complicated. It's fine to reuse what you already have so long as the various modifications that you guys have mm-hmm. talked about get incorporated into that. That's
so then tonight, for preparing for the meeting, how does everybody feel about, we'll just keep working this, I'll take some notes, I'll update this document and send it around for edits, mm-hmm. and we'll work off of this, and that this is what we'll show them, we'll keep it really simple, and then we'll discuss with them, okay, here's what's needed, what's the best way for us to go about getting this?
But see, here's what's needed, and then, you know, we just pass that on, and that's the end.
Well, what I'm willing to do is basically give my perspective mm-hmm. at the front end of what I'm anticipating and expecting to come out of this. Now, one of the city councilors in that position, of course, that doesn't mean you carry it the day. There's six other people. But it's typically effective in that now all of a sudden they're, just because of the nature of the decisions they have to make, they're listening in a little different way, because now it's not, well, you know, it's just yet another committee coming in and they all want something and we don't have time for it. It's like, okay, somebody's taking this seriously enough, like establishing, reestablishing that communication style, reestablishing, even though it's based on the same framework you've used before, updates to your priorities. That stuff, hopefully, in my experience, should and could matter a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, so instead of just saying, oh, about 160 sheriffs, you say, well, we spent some time actually going around town, looking at what we've accomplished, great, looking at what we need to do, and now it's down to 120 or whatever.
I would hope that the outgrowth would be yourself making a motion to the city council
yep.
that you recommend that whatever the number is, $15,000 be earmarked specifically for the Sheryl project. And, you know, we have a good outline as far as where to go with them.
Right.
But the details to be worked out as far as the overlays and the different little nuances that might come in there. But I think that's the biggest thing is just to, A, have the councilors be comfortable with what a Sheryl is, understand it, appreciate it, hopefully. And then say, well, yeah, we'll appreciate it to the point that we'll entertain a motion for specific funding. And beyond that, then we take our advisory role and help city staff implement the project over the next year.
And part of the reason I was encouraging you guys to get started early, and we are, and this pairs into what I think Ken was going to start to say, is whether there's access to any additional money, such as through the room tax, whatever the city council agrees to in terms of a concept will then get put into the full budget process. And in my mind, it's a real advantage to have that all organized and already underway by the time they get into that process, because then it's not, you know, it's not lost in the details and we've got a bazillion other problems that we have to look at. And it would be an opportune time to entertain discussions such as, okay, well, if our standing budget is whatever it is, the X percent of the dollars that you get, is there something more that could be stamped each year?
And you need to point out that the Oregon Department of Tourism is seriously looking at the Oregon coast, you know, as an attraction to bring tourists in. And anything, and this is why the tourism dollars, the room tax dollars, probably is a good fit for trying to, you know, fund something like the Sheryl, because
right.
it's not a lot of money, to tell you the truth.
Right.
You know, if you add it all up. But it is, right now, probably not in the public works budget.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the funding might not be available.
But, yeah, I guess I just remembered, you guys get, what's the percentage?
Somebody mentioned it.
1% of the gas tax, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's 1% of the gas tax funds that come to the city and the counties. However, I don't think you can use that. You could potentially use it, but I know that the city over the years, when they've been putting in sidewalks, et cetera, you know, they've been using that money up.
Okay.
The county, that's not true. The city has really been using that room tax, or that 1% bike ped money up over the years, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, that might not be a...
The transit room tax is the easiest source of money to go after, and probably the most appropriate. And I think, didn't we get some reports on the room tax actually being up, trending up?
You know, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it did go up.
It did trend it up. And you know, if you can imagine the Sherrill project, you know, being done in a year or whatever, over the next 6 months, it just creates almost a press release type of a thing that you get it out into the circle of communication for the visitors, so that they realize, oh, well, Newport has an organized, comprehensive Sherrill program that helps promote cycling in these high traffic, mm-hmm. high tourism use areas. Yeah. And that's something to talk about. That's kind of a little, you don't pay for that type of advertising, but when it hits the media, it has more power than a paid ad does.
And that's something that we could really
be. Part of what I outlined in here, I didn't expand on it, but I mean, the cycle tourism is big. Tourists, you know, just coming to town with bicycles instead of going to Bend with bicycles.
Right.
And, you know, there are people on the Chamber of Commerce who are attentive to this also. And, you know, the next phase of, you know, having the Sherrills that, you know, have been installed on Ocean View Drive, have that next phase completed all the way down to the park at the end of Elizabeth Street. All the motels are on Elizabeth Street. They head down there, they go down through the park and down the hill. And then if you have that continuum of Sherrills going all the way out Bay Boulevard to John Moore Drive, and then you hook onto the bike lane, you know, you've got a place for tourists to come and ride road bikes for an extended period, you know, out the Bay
Road.
That's
all in the plan. It's just connecting the dots.
Connecting, and it's just two dots, you know.
Well, but there's a lot of dots in between here and getting the Sherrills placed, and all those dots of moving it through the city and getting the money in place, and what are the different funding sources, and you know, that's where we're working now. We know what needs to be done, and we know where we're at now, but these little baby steps.
So are there some bullet items that we just passed over just now that want to be added to our Sherrill presentation, so the council can say, oh, it does have a multifaceted benefit to allow this?
The bullets
so
are adding tourism. The bullets are safety for students getting to and from school, and the bullets are also safety for us. Like Alicia said,
the Sherrills really aren't geared for students.
Yes, they are. You go up as a route to go up and down Eade Street and to go down 6th Street and to go down 11th Street to get across Highway 101. That's what those that's what those are there for.
Yeah, public awareness.
Yeah, it's for students to be able to ride their bicycles to school.
Well, certainly at the high school level.
Yeah, at the high school level or the junior high school level.
Okay.
Well, junior high, yeah.
Okay, so I've got the why, and again, I'll send this around as a draft so everybody will be able to weigh in. And we've got Bob's. This is really helpful. These are the babies. These are the little half baby steps that we need to actually move through with the council and develop a rapport with the council so that we can, you know, really get into the meat of this. What funding is available? So the room tax dollars have not... should we be asking for input, asking to be part of the conversation on how the room tax dollars are spent?
I don't.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, that's what we're doing. Yes.
So
I think what you're doing is you're presenting the question early. That because of the direct connection between ecotourism, getting people to come to Newport rather than Bend, all the things you just outlined.
The safety issue.
This committee is proposing that there ought to be a portion of the room tax fund that's routinely available for doing these projects. And then that's about as far as you can take it. You know, you provide the information, and then it becomes then the step of the priorities and the budget committee and everything else, of which you have members that are on the budget committee.
I think on something on something this small, because this is not a big amount of money, on something this small, I don't think that we need to get involved in the minutia of where that dollar comes from. Now, if we're going after something that's $500,000 or $1 million, you bet we need to get involved in how to find a grant for it.
But as far as them pulling out
of their daily road maintenance budget, you know, I don't really care if they're, you know, taking it out of filling a pothole budget or.
But that's not what I'm talking about. There's a room tax. There's a room tax fund. Can you, Chuck, tell me a little bit about how that room tax is supposed to be used?
I believe in the budget it's like $2.3 million typically of room tax money. And
what are the percentages?
It's 54 and 46,
I think.
Right. 54% can go towards general infrastructure, and 46 must be used for tourism related activities, which is fairly broad. But 46% of $2.3 million means there's a whole bunch of money. A lot of it's already spoken for, and everybody's raising their hand trying to get it and making their case for the tourism slant for those monies. But this, I think we will find, is a very small amount of money and does a lot of above ground, highly visible functional benefit. And it would be, it seems like a pretty easy sell.
And so do you think that we should specifically put that out there, that we make that connection for this project and not for the others?
I think the workshop mainly is to get the Sherrill project funded and moving forward, and to reestablish our desire to work with council on other issues as they come up. But I think we need to, I don't know, in my perfect world, Mark would have a motion already written up that we'd say, that's a great motion.
I've got a weekend. The reason I brought up the bit about in counter to your remark earlier about not identifying, with Ken reminding us that that 1% of the gas tax basically getting used up every year. Okay, and I'm not saying it's necessarily bad uses. Sidewalks are good. But I think you want to be taking the approach that there already is enough competing projects to use up that money. It's going to take a combination of that money probably and a consideration of some other money, even if you're only after a small amount of money each year, to keep making routine process. So then, to me, the next key then is making sure that everyone agrees that you've identified what that amount of money is going to be. That'll be up to the budget committee. And then we've had some really great developments going on in the finance department, where it's becoming a little easier to actually be able to track these funds more or less real time. So, for instance, we're now looking at the possibility of looking at how budgets are doing on a quarterly basis. The reason I bring that up is, assuming the budget committee ends up following through with approving X number of dollars to this committee, whatever it is, quarter one, well, you know, you guys haven't spent anything. Yes, you still have X number of dollars.
But we're not asking for X number of dollars per quarter.
No, but right? we're asking to be able to have the right to use the money you were told you would have. And quite often we
experience. Yeah, and actually, I'm thinking about it, like over the years, I know that they've used up the 1%. However, they continue to get that, you know, on basically on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
And it's a line, it, I actually made sure it was a line item on the city treasury, whatever. Unless somebody's already, and you can accumulate that for up to 10 years if you got a project in mind.
Right.
But if they don't have anything already earmarked for that 1%, say for this next quarter or two quarters, they could do that now. They could actually allocate that for, say, the sheriffs or anything else that the committee might want to come up with. So that money hasn't been spent yet, and it hasn't been, if a decision hasn't been made on a sidewalk project that they're working on, let's say, or curb cuts, then they could earmark that for sheriffs or whatever, you know.
So in this scheme of becoming a more multimodal committee, you would have whatever pot of money it is, and you'd be part of the suggestion prioritizing process as an advisory body of, you know, do we really need a sidewalk there next, or should we do some more Cheryl's? Or do we, you know, continue to support the city's contribution to the county bus, or, you know, all those things, in essence, go up at some of the same dollars.
I think we're, want to go back to the specific, we're just going to this workshop to try to, could somebody fill in the blank? What's the number, the dollar amount? 15,000,
10,000? No, I think, didn't a Cheryl cost 200 and some bucks?
Yeah, the estimate at one point was $220 per Cheryl. Yeah.
We need to have a relatively specific number.
I thought it was on here.
It's $25,000 worth of Cheryl's. That is a very specific number.
Okay, that's a lot more than I thought it was going to be. But
well, we need to be able to break down.
The Cheryl's cost, like Ken and I both remember them costing around, they're 200 plus, and Ken says about 220.
We have paperwork on this. I'll see if I could dig it out. But we have this whole breakdown.
Yeah, if you have 100 times 220, that's $22,000.
So I think the work session is this, that have them, the council value, learn about the Cheryl's and reiterate that they have a value, understand that there's a value, agree to spend a certain amount of money, pick a number, $15,000 towards the project, and recommending that the transit room tax fund be the source, because or I think the 1% is spoken for and is usually they bank it. A lot of times they'll bank it for a few years, and I just hear Public Works saying that, you know, they've already got plans for the money, so the easier fruit to grab is the TRT fund. And to say, hey, can we have 15,000 or pick a number to do...
Which one's TRT?
The Transit Room Tax. The Room Tax Fund is called...
Yeah. And Marianne, two guys taking an hour to install one Cheryl, it's probably could be $100. And I doubt they would cost $100 to install a Cheryl. But, you know, if you want to divide that out, it probably would be close to that.
And we have to be careful because a lot of times they don't even count the crew's time because they're going to be out there anyway.
Unless,
so I think
they would be out there specifically to do that because they'd have to have a truck with a torch and two guys and cones. And
I think it would be better for us just to come up with the cost of the materials.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
So that's what I would
easier to, because
then it gets to seem too expensive and they're out there anyway in the field anyway. Mm-hmm. Because that's how it's been referenced to me, that some of the work that they do out there, it's already built into the system that they're out there doing work. So it's just like, okay, this week, guys concentrate on the Cheryl's, and that's part of their assignment. It's not like we need extra money specifically for that labor per se.
Unless you decide from a work perspective, Public Works advises us that really to get however many dollars worth of Cheryl's we're buying down this year, we're going to have to budget for somebody to really focus on that.
Yeah. But I think we asked for the materials.
So what's been really good about this conversation is now that you've added up the number and it's 22,000 just for the Cheryl's.
Well, we haven't confirmed that.
As process, then you as a committee decide, well, if we feel more comfortable that we could get away with some other dollar value, recognizing that, okay, this now means that our goal is to have all these Cheryl's into place in 2 years. If you can't get it all done in 1 year. That's the kind of trade-off that I'm talking about.
And you're talking about two fiscal years, so there's still 7 months left in this fiscal year.
Right. Right. So there's always the potential that some could be freed up for this year to at least get started.
Does the council, do you have a sense that the council knows what a Cheryl is and understands
it? I think it's good for you to...
That's part of what our presentation.
I mean, even if they know what one is, the importance of describing how important they are, I think that's a key point.
Oh, yeah, we would not.
I think they have a superficial idea what they are, only because you made the presentation previously. Right.
But there hasn't been any other...
That would be part of the presentation.
What the Cheryl's is.
Well, right.
Alicia, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, we can't forget the fact there is an alternative to... And we're putting the price down for thermoplastic. There is an alternative. It can be painted, and we do have the templates to paint.
Yes, but this committee discussed that, and I thought that the decision of the committee was to go for the thermoplastic, that it wasn't worth going for the... Because I don't want to confuse the council with giving them alternatives decided.
Well, that's the problem we have with this issue. Tim is one that is insisting on thermoplastic, and there are alternatives to this also. I'm just saying there are alternatives. Just because this public works director is insisting on doing a thermoplastic, we can't be narrowed down to that.
But we discussed it without Tim, and the minutes of the meeting should show, so I'll dig those out. But that we've already taken that step of really doing an analysis of paint versus thermoplastic. Am I remembering this right?
Yes, that's correct.
And
you're exactly
we
correct.
Decided, because I was the one that needed to be convinced. I said, why don't we just go put them down, get some paint down on the ground, and then we'll have marked it. Then as they fade, we'll have more of a case for putting it on. But the committee convinced me otherwise.
And there's still validity to the paint if you're doing it in an area that's going to get an overlay in the next year or so.
That's what I was going
to keep it contiguous. So you're not really, there's nuances where that can still work and it might be helpful.
You might want to make that exact point because that'll make Tim happy.
That's a good.
Or any of you changing your minds?
That's
already?
A good. Alicia, do you want
to? No, could you also recommend that paint might be an allowable solution where you have the road width for in the future to do a bike lane, where the roads are narrow and you'll never get a bike lane because it's not feasible? A share is always going to be the best solution. But if it's a budget problem now, could you recommend we could use paint on these roads where we have enough width in the future when you did repaint or repave and need to repaint that there could be a bike lane in this situation, so maybe it's not worth investing in thermoplastic in this specific instance?
Right, and I think the point you made, just a really good one, is that the Shero is a very functional tool to use where a bike lane is not feasible initially or otherwise, because it's a poor man's bike lane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to get locked into using Sheros and not
getting
bike lanes.
That's another really
right.
big bullet item.
We
can always paint a stripe down the side of a road even if it has a Shero on it.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it came to a push versus shove and there was one street where you wanted a bike lane in the future, maybe paint would be adequate if it was a budget decision.
Bike lanes are verboten.
Yeah, maybe not.
I wouldn't say for voting.
Well, that would
I would
be
for not for voting bike lanes.
So if we took it, Amanda's line of reasoning here, and then what we could do is update this priority list to indicate if some of these streets are bike lane eligible, and then should be considered for that. In other words, if we put thermoplastic on all of these.
I think we just keep it simple and say we want Shero's to do our Shero project.
Yeah, I think bike lanes are a different battle. I would love to get into the bike lane, phase of things.
But not now.
Just trying to get Shero's, it was like pulling teeth.
Right.
Bike lanes is an entirely different step. Alicia and I have been on this committee, Ken and we've all been on this committee trying to fight for bike lanes for some of these folks for over 10 years without any success.
Okay, so we're going with thermoplastic arrows everywhere.
Even though the DCP plans, call for bike lanes in some places. Mm-hmm.
That's the next battle. Let's get
I'm good with keeping the battles.
To me, it's a poor man's bike lane, bang for buck. I mean, that's your... Yeah. You walk away on that, and as far as the
system plan,
the paint issue, that's just in your back pocket. If they say, "Well, you're going to do an overlay over here," and then you say, "Okay, well, the paint is the
not the right person to explain all of this, but I might be the only one there. You may be there.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I'm developing desire to be there.
I can talk to Cheryl's aspect.
Okay. All right. Good.
I'm number one project is the second one.
Yeah.
So I think we're in good shape with this. And I think it will be useful to discuss with the council what funding options are and let them, and we can say, well, what about the room tax? Well, what about the 1% gas tax?
I think you need to plant the seed.
Yeah, that's I think we
you need
just
to plant the seed.
Oh, yeah.
Just plant the seed and let them.
Well, and then Mark's prepared to make a motion.
Well, that's the goal right here, is to have you say, I make a motion.
What's next step?
The number two is the trail. Guys, you with us?
Yeah.
So the next one is the the Nida Ocean View Trail. So what are we calling this project? There were a few different names floating around. Can we pick a name?
Well, oh, Park that's Street actually, Trail that actually, that section is actually called, it's been called Park Street for forever, for whatever
reason. Okay, because it was on the agenda as Old Park Street recently, and I said, I don't know what that is. And Alicia said, that's our second priority. How do you not know what that is?
It's more understandable to say Nida Ocean View, but I think Park Street's a little weird street that makes that
good. Yeah, just keep it Nida.
It's Nida Ocean View.
Ocean View to Nida Street.
So what we sit here, Nida Street Extension. Yeah. Okay. So what we say here is, what is needed? Prioritization by the city on this heavily used yet unsafe portion of the Oregon Coast bike route. Prioritization, I think we have a more detailed message on that now of where are we at now with this project?
Here's what happened is we've been off and on that project, and the latest one was that we were going to piggyback with the Public Works Department when they're putting the sewers down through there, new sewers down through there. But then we got told that no, they're not going to go that route after all because of wetlands issues. So we're back to, we want a trail down through there.
Yeah, we're back to basically square one.
And the thing that they, I guess, want to know going in is our goal is to bypass the dangerous curves from 21st Street to 17th. There's a little section in there. And then from like about, what would it be, 14th Street to 12th Street. There's two real bad sections.
Say what you just said again. Bypass dangerous curves from...
Two sections of Ocean View Drive. There's one little subsection that's from, say, 21st Street to 17th, or 16th, probably 16th.
Yeah.
And then the next little subsection of that thoroughfare is like from...
15th to 12th.
Yeah, probably 16th to 12th.
15th
to 12th.
Yeah. 15th
to 12th. 15th is great. 16th. But there's two little zones
basically
there.
Basically 12 to 21?
Yes, yeah, basically.
Just that?
Yes, what that does, it becomes an alternative route for the Oregon Coast bike route. And it would take them down Nye Street all the way to 6th or 3rd or wherever you'd want to join back up to Coast. Right.
Okay.
And it would put people in closer contact to the bike shop, which a lot of people, cycle tourists need because they need to buy new tubes, new tires, get maintenance done. And Nye Street, you know, is, you know, what we're trying to realize as a thoroughfare for cycling.
Was that 10?
Library?
Yeah,
7. And the library.
To all the towns.
And, you know, you'll get cycle tourists and communication with, you know, computers and this, that, and the other thing.
Okay.
But as an alternative to the coastal or the coast bike route is what that's intended to do.
As well as a commuter route for
as
locals.
As well as a commuter route for locals. Yeah.
Utilizing Nye Street, which is the preferred north-south west of 101.
Okay.
Right. What here's is the interesting thing, though. If we've been saying over and over again, I've been doing it too, that is such a dangerous area. But we never have any incidents there.
Because it's too dangerous, people are not comfortable going there, so there's not people there. It's literally not as true.
No, everyone is there. Every cycle tourist. Well, 90% of the cycle tourists.
But as far as the walkers, you know.
Yeah, I walked that exactly once.
Then right, one time it all takes us.
So here's the county and the city working together. Just came out from Tim Gross to the county emergency alert notification. The city of Newport will be conducting emergency repairs to water main break that will be affecting the area between Northeast 7th and Northeast 3rd and between Northeast Benton and Northeast Eads. So out of service for 3 to 4 hours. So apparently as we're sitting here meeting, there's a water main break.
Well, another one.
When you're thawing out and circulating. Yeah.
So what is the, so there have been a few designs depending on what else the city was doing. Were they going to put in a sewer? If they were going to put in the sewer, then they were going to route it this way. But right now, what are we actually asking for as far as surface and route, and how much work
gravel,
is that?
A culvert going over the creek and a gravel path connector. All the way up to Nye Street, or 17th, I guess, is where.
So the culvert was the big deal, right?
Well, Tim actually advised us that a bridge would be less environmentally difficult to pull off.
Right.
To make the transition from Ocean View down to the Nye Street area.
This is the part where I wanted to add, if I recall correctly, that Tim was saying part of the problem is for the city to do it as strictly a city project in the way that it was originally envisioned. There would be such a heavy load of environmental stuff that had to happen. You'd be lucky if you ever got it through.
That'd be with the culvert.
Correct, yeah.
But not with the bridge.
Correct, right. And so, but even with the bridge, you're saying if we could somehow partner.
So the first thing we need is an actual plan. We need a plan, we need a price, we need an estimate.
Right.
We need somebody to actually spec this out.
On this work session that we're doing, I think our main goal is to do the Sharrow project real full bore, and the rest of it's just kind of a general overview of our projects, not getting into this level of detail.
But what is the next step? That's what I'm trying to get at. What is the next step in this?
As it relates to workshop.
Can I offer a next step?
No, for us in our priority list.
Okay. I didn't know whether we were still talking about
the workshop. Well, we are talking about the workshop, and we're talking about our four priorities for the workshop, and I want to go in there prepared with the right...
Okay.
With the right stuff. So when the council says, okay, you're talking about, you say you've been working on this for this Nye to Ocean View for 10 years, where are you at with it? What's the next step? What do you need from us? I want to know what the heck I'm talking about.
I didn't bring it tonight, but in the past, Ken forwarded me an email about a month ago, and I printed it out, and it's a grant request that we submitted, what, about 4 years ago, to have Ocean View Drive from 101 all the way up to 12th Street redone.
And actually, the city council at the time actually was 100% behind that.
Yes.
I was at a city council meeting, and they were 100% behind it, doing the safety improvements to Ocean View.
And ODOT was behind, because ODOT came out here with, I think, three representatives, and we took them on a tour up there, and they rode the whole thing, and they walked part of it with us, and ODOT was behind it too, and we almost had the grant.
I think there's another grant cycle that's coming up that you need to look for. I know it was 2015-16.
Yeah.
Another transportation enhancement grant.
That would be something to take.
But now that's a different issue, right?
No, this is not this issue. What we're trying to do on this issue is to create a safe route for bicyclists and pedestrians to get from.
What
Ocean
did the grant
up
ask
there.
For?
The grant asked for a specific lane, a multi-use path to be put alongside the existing
That's
road.
That's a completely different project.
It is a completely different project, but it is for the exact same solution as that.
Okay.
This is a temporary solution for that project.
Mm-hmm.
That is what this is. This is something we don't have it developed yet right now, obviously. And so this should be kind of back-burnered. Turn the page to the next one to where you get to your sidewalk. This is something you can say that we are currently working on.
But I have a specific question about this. What is the next step on this project? Is it to get a design and specs and get it costed out for this bypass?
Yeah.
Is that the next step?
I guess to me the next step would be is if Public Works still thinks that the bridge is the best route to go to get the grade of Ocean View down to Nye, let us know if that's still the preferred connection. And if it is, advise us as to what the best funding source would be.
City Council would need to direct Public Works to actually take a look at that and do a cost estimate, you know, with you know, like a bridge or whatever else needs to be put on that trail. But the City Council would have to direct Public Works to actually come up with some costs in order to do that.
Is that a baby step that we could do right now? Could we ask the Council in this work session, could you direct Public Works to cost this out, not with a off the top of their head, but with a proper estimate and design for this route? Is that the next step?
And an approach could be, it's something that you've had on priority list for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's risen to the top as far as city council was concerned in the past. We really want to bring this up again and resolve, you know, are we going to do this or are we not?
Are we going to put it in the queue? And you told us we need to get things in the queue.
And if so, then it's going to need to be identified. Yeah,
this is not something that's ready to go in the queue. Cheryl's are ready
but
to go in the queue.
It's never going to be ready to go in
it's
the queue if we don't have
Monday.
A design and an estimate.
Yeah, it's not going to be ready Monday to go in the queue.
But the part of tasking Public Works to have on their list of, you know, the top 15 as opposed to the top 100, mm-hmm. going out and actually taking a new look at it and coming up with a plan,
I think
be a request.
The best thing we can hope for is just to let the city council know about the problem. So as they drive through town, drive through that section of town, they can imagine what we're talking about and see the two curvy sections and go, wow, this really is a problem. Just for awareness purpose, we want to bring it to their attention, but I don't think we want to spend a whole lot of time on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think
that's fair enough. Yeah. That's fair enough, but the thing I'm stuck on is I don't understand. If the council says to me, if somebody says, hey, I hate that spot, I really want to see that fixed, what do you want us to do next? What is the answer to that question?
The answer is we come up with, you know, a design for that. We tell them that we have, you know, a process in the works. We're not ready to present it yet because we obviously don't have any numbers on that. We have two possibilities.
Why do we get the numbers, though?
Well, we can get the numbers, but next meeting, the meeting after, and the meeting after, we can get those numbers, but we don't have the numbers today. So all we can tell them is that we have an idea. We have, you know, this thought process to put a trail through here. And we can tell them exactly how far we have it developed. You know, that Tim has suggested a bridge, and we have suggested a gravel path. And then we can also tell them the experience we've had, because the problem is not the fact that that trail doesn't exist. The problem is the fact that Ocean View Drive is dangerous. So the solutions can be either that or to reapply for another grant to get the whole thing taken care of, in which, you know, that's something that there are new grant cycles coming up, and that, you know, is equally as valid a solution. But this thing is going to have a lot of wetlands issues and a lot of environmental problems and is only a temporary fix anyway.
Okay.
You know, exploring both sides of that. You know, on our work session on Monday, I think the next item on there is the sidewalk going down.
Yes,
to the hospital.
And I do want to get to that. I just want to understand this for myself. Chuck, did you want to add something to that?
No, I think we just wanted to bring it to their attention so they're aware of it.
Okay.
And if
so, then
and so that we can ask them to empathetically look at that section, and once they get a little bit more understanding, then down the line we'll. You know, bring it up in more specific detail, or just get them aware of it. I think is all we're looking to do now.
We lower that's priority from number two to number four or whatever, and put that sidewalk, you know, going down the hill from the hospital being like the number two priority.
This is a really hard project here, and Tim's not really has the time or the money or the inclination to want to do this one. My opinion.
Okay.
Would it be helpful if at the bottom of each of those slides, I'm just assuming they're slides, I'm not looking at them, to have a next step right at the bottom of each one?
We're updating those right
now. Okay.
Yeah.
It seems like if the next step is called out at the bottom clearly, you don't have to move the priority down because it's urgency versus it's important. It doesn't have to be the same. You could leave it at number two, but if the next step is have Public Works embark on a study, then obviously it's not as soon, but it doesn't make the priority less.
Yeah, but that's not the next step, is what I'm hearing. It's not the next step. The next step that you're both, I would like to see the next step be a cost estimate so that then later we could go to the council and say, you know, okay, well, we've priced this out and this is what it would cost, which budget do you think we can get this into? But without knowing how much it's going to cost, we can't have that conversation. But you don't think we're at the point where we should even be talking about it to council. So really, this shouldn't be on the list if we're just saying, by the way, there's an unsafe stretch of 101.
I think it's a good opportunity to call our attention to the safety issue and a general idea that we have of
a method of, in the future.
Let me ask this then. Given that you're saying that, would you envision that the intent would be to have an estimate in time for this year, for the upcoming budget cycle? And if so...
Not really.
Okay.
No. Okay. Okay. I mean, I don't know what it takes.
This has been a moving project.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had it completely designed.
This is just a big FYI.
That's what we were, Action Committee. We actually went out and got this thing designed at one
right.
time.
Right. Yep.
And it got canceled or postponed because they put that grant in for the total road.
Right.
And we came back and said, okay, let's do this now. And that's when we were going to piggyback it on top of the sewer project.
Right.
Again, we got zeroed, right. we got zapped out of that one. So this always has been a very big project with this committee. We just couldn't make it happen.
That's why I asked the specific question. If it's something that you would like to see rated high enough that financing for it gets considered in the budget cycle for the upcoming fiscal year, meaning not starting until next July, then you would probably want to say that this is important enough to us that our intent is the next step would be. But I'm not saying which way you should go.
But yeah. I think one of the next steps could be to ask Tim whether his grant procurement person would have a chance, or whether he would have a chance to broach this issue with the grant procurement person to see whether there were grants out here that might be skewed in a direction that would be appropriate for this. And the minor bypass of the bike route for safety issue and the long-term commuter benefit of Nye Street being integrated into the day-to-day activity of moving to and fro as a biker person, pedestrian.
But
the procurement person,
yeah.
if it's on their radar screen from a safety issue, and if it's on their radar screen as a potential for a grant, then that's...
First thing that person's going to ask is how much money you're looking for. That's what the grant person is going to say, because grants come
right.
in pieces.
Exactly. So it might be helpful if council said something about, you know, what do you want us to do with this project? What do you want from the city at this point? Somebody could say, perhaps you could direct staff to develop the plan and cost it. Because that really is a next step. You're going to have that costed before you even take it to the grant consultant.
Which basically is what you
okay.
were saying.
And what yes. Chuck and Bob are saying is, don't push it at this point. So I'm comfortable with this, that I'm not going to, I won't highlight it, but if they ask, I'll be
yeah.
prepared to say
we
something. That's the place I want to be on.
Introduce
this.
It, and then,
yeah.
and then, like Peggy said, you know, be prepared to ask okay. if staff could
okay.
could do the cost analysis on it.
Yeah. And I'm sorry I'm pushing. I'm going to be in the hot seat, so
yeah.
I just want to make sure that I understand so that I can speak for the committee if they start throwing questions at me. And so I think I feel pretty comfortable with now how the group is thinking about it. So thank you for putting up with me.
Oh, no, that's good. Talk about it.
So the next one is trail connecting Agate Beach Wayside trail to the sidewalk on 101 West. So this is a really dangerous pedestrian crossing. A lot of pedestrians getting from the north end of town down to Walmart, and it was deemed that this short section, so if I understand this right, a short section of sidewalk from where the sidewalk ends on the west side of 101 north of Walmart, from where the sidewalk ends to connect it to the trail that goes under the road down in the tunnel, that right now you have to scramble down the bank to get to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one for physically for people to visualize. I don't know if everybody knows that tube that goes underneath 101
mm-hmm.
and then at the Agate Beach Wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're on Highway 101 walking south and you're walking on the east side of 101 and you happen to go down that stairway and go through the tube and then start to walk to the north or to the south towards the hotel there, if there was a way to bridge from there up to the sidewalk that goes in front of the hotel to Walmart, that little section, if that was connected, then somebody walking on 101 could go from the east side of 101 through the tunnel, continue south, and make that little connection.
So is there a stairway?
That's really hard to visualize that.
That is a city park, is that correct?
That's a state park.
That's the part that always confuses me, is that how can we get a state park to cooperate to have us break through their fencing?
Where the fence is where the state park land ends, mm-hmm. and where the trail needs to continue going south to connect up with the sidewalk is, I don't know who owns that. Whether it's owned by the hotel or the city or, you know, that's a part of the ODOT right away or what. But, you know, on the other side of that fence is where we need to connect up, you know, build something.
You need to have a stairway, basically, to go up, because you've got that, you come through
it's
the tunnel.
Not that steep. I don't know, you know, what it is, but at any rate, it's pretty steep.
You've got that paved blacktop section that goes southbound, and then that paved blacktop section turns west and goes out to the beach.
And at
that corner is where you're going to have to go up the hill. And at that corner, you've got a pretty steep bank, which I think the only way you're going to do it is to get a stairway.
Well, you have to cross Big Creek also. Big Creek flows right through there.
Yes, it does, yeah.
That's the body of water that goes through there. That's why that blacktop turns and goes west, because it follows Big Creek.
Correct.
So you're bridging on Big Creek and going up.
Yeah.
So, what's that?
Which blacktop are you talking about? The blacktop that goes up to the hotel?
Well, we're within the Agate Beach Wayside State Park.
You come through the tunnel,
and
you go south on that blacktop. There's a little blacktop path.
Right.
It goes south, and it goes to Big Creek, and then it turns west, and it goes out to the...
picnic benches.
I did the tunnel and walked on Big Creek Road. I guess I'm not seeing what you're talking about.
The other direction.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just go up the north bank of the creek and then be on the road?
I think this is going to be another one that's real hard to effectively communicate at this work session.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's something that actually needs to be drawn out.
You have to do a site visit to really know what's going on here.
It's confusing who owns what.
I thought Big Creek was on the north side of that path.
Okay.
There's a creek down there in that north side of that path. That you go
there it is.
All the way down, and here's the restrooms down here.
Yeah. I know where it is. You want to look at it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go walk through this creek again.
Here.
Okay, do you know where the tube is, if we will, the underpass? Okay, here's the stairway. You're on the east side of 101 here. Mm-hmm. You walk down the stairway. Here's the underpass right here. You're walking into the Agate Beach Wayside State Park. When you get to this point, there's a big city sign that talks about the park. If you continue south, paralleling this parking lot, the blacktop path then turns west and goes this way. Right where it makes that right turn to the west is where you would have to have a bridge to cross Big Creek, which flows right through here, to get to the sidewalks that are right next to the hotel, which is right here.
But what if you came out of the tunnel and you just immediately went up the bank? That in itself.
Then you wouldn't. Then what you're trying to do is connect to the sidewalk.
But is there enough of a
shoulder?
Right away, shoulder there, to make that into a walking path?
Yeah, that was something that Dave was...
There's look for elevation south right now. Feel free to flip it around. There's elevation change.
Okay, you're talking about being on the west side.
You'd have to, the step stairway you just went down to go to the tube.
Yeah.
Then you have to have another stairway to go back up.
Turn it around so you're actually looking forward.
But when you come through the tunnel, just immediately go up to the road.
Through a tunnel.
By a stairway or something.
And then you can
if they put in a stairway.
Path right down. down through here.
Because the issue is people across the
makes a turn and goes right around here.
Right now, again, it's one of those issues you'd have to actually physically be there in order to have, make any sense of it.
Yeah, the sidewalk.
Well, maybe someday you want to take them on a tour.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see the shadow on the trees when it happened. The one who instigated this was my co-worker, Graphic. She's the one who started waving the flag, and Dave said, I exactly would have told her. So it's not the same. You can bicycle on the east side of the highway and cross it at Walmart.
Understand much better. Yeah, but she said it was too dangerous to walk all the way down to that light because it was a place where you had to climb the fence and walk on the inside. It's not enough shoulder to walk. So she would have been happy just coming through the tunnel and being able to get up that bank to walk 101 on the other side. Because walking 101 on the east side, she deemed too dangerous.
That's my bike. Anytime I ride my bicycle, I have to ride that section. I can't go anywhere else.
So,
and especially since they repaved it, you know, it's this wide.
Yeah, I think when you're walking, that wide doesn't feel very wide. You've got a fence on one side, you've got a guardrail on one side, and the traffic's just...
Do you want to frame this one as another project that you're working on?
I think work's in progress.
Yeah, I could tell.
Maybe we get some photographs and some. Well, it would be nice, we don't have a finished design for it.
We don't need to finish the design. We don't have a finished idea for it, I don't think. We have barely a conceptual idea.
I mean, I walked there myself to check it out.
We don't know how big the bridge is going to be. We don't know how many steps we got to make. It's 20, 30 steps going up. You know,
It would be nice for Public Works to do a site evaluation with a committee, a subcommittee.
Yeah.
Just go out there, walk around, look at it, and say,
As far as projects that are ready, I think the ones that are ready are the sidewalk
and
the Sheryl's.
Okay, so then the other is, so the sidewalks, where are we at with that? We said what is needed, prioritization by city and Bayfront, by the city and by the Bayfront merchants. That's what we, how we left off. Are we in the same place with that?
Yeah.
More or less.
And that sidewalk going down that hill would be a wonderful addition. You know, right there. You know that.
It's on our list. We've already decided that.
Well, and that's shovel ready. All they have to do is get out there and, you know, bulldoze the side of the hill and pour some concrete.
A little more than that.
There's what's called a retaining wall.
But details.
So what is the Bayfront, what are the Bayfront Merchant Association, where are they at with this?
There is no official Bayfront Merchants Association, but there is a general consensus that the Bayfront merchants were very pleased with the sidewalk project that went up in front of the Coast Guard, and that we see how much benefit that is.
Yeah,
right
there.
The last little piece of the connectivity is up towards the hospital, and there's many issues there, but one of them is that we have a disconnect on the west end of the Bayfront from the upper part of the peninsula there. People can't get from the hospital neighborhood downhill because there's no sidewalks they don't want to walk.
There is a sidewalk that pretty. And then it ends in yes. those condos.
Exactly.
It's really funny.
Yeah, so it is.
I live right there.
It's so weird.
It is bizarre.
So we described the problem, I think, pretty clearly.
Yeah.
And so what's the status at this point?
The status of the project, of course, as it relates to funding, we've mentioned this before, but the Bayfront folks have a in lieu of parking fund that has $350,000, I forget what the number is, a lot of money in it, and they have the potential of peeling off some of that money to seed this project. And we, you know, there's some of us, myself included, hope that that would come into fruition. And the benefit is that Third Street, the sidewalks up out of Nye Beach, recently completed, were seeded by the Nye Beach Parking District funds. They kicked in $85,000 or thereabouts to help facilitate the city's building those sidewalks up from Third Street. So you're at Nana's and want to walk up the hill towards Pioneer Printing, Kumyong's, get back to 101. Now there's sidewalks there. So using that as kind of a model, the Bayfront Parking District could take some of their money and leverage it with some city money to complete that sidewalk project.
So is the first step, I know you talked to Steve about getting Tim to actually get a cost estimate for the sidewalk, and that hasn't been done yet, right?
He did a thumbnail, just a thumbnail sketch. He had Ted come up with some rough numbers.
But it needs to be fine-tuned in order for the Bayfront Association to buy into it, right?
We need a little bit closer evaluation.
Right, so the Public Works Department has to do a better evaluation of what it costs to put a sidewalk in there.
Yes.
And I think we could also ask for tourist fund monies for that, too.
So if the next step, then, is a full cost estimate, uh-huh. right? And then how would the Bayfront merchants get, would they then decide that they want to support this and they would lobby the city, or would the city go to them and say, hey, we have this great project, do you want to partner?
There's a committee, the parking in lieu of parking committee for the Bayfront exists, and it has members of which I'm not a member of, but I sat in on some of their meetings, mm-hmm. and they work very closely with Public Works in terms of figuring out ways that spending some of their money could help keep the transportation and parking issues help solve those problems. That in lieu of parking group has not met for a while, and they're due for a meeting probably soon. So at the next meeting that they have, it would be an opportunity for folks that want to see that project go forward, talk to them about it, and it could be members of the merchants group down there, with the bolstering of their support via the Bike Ped Committee. Bike Ped Committee knows that it's in the TSP as a high priority project for this actual fiscal year, so it's in the queue for that, and the money from Parking District is partially there to fund it, and we have a model for Third Street, and so we're just trying to duplicate what they did in a different area of town. And as far as what the committee might do is, once we know about a meeting that the Parking District might have, see if we can get on the agenda to present this slide or this part of the presentation to them.
So how, in your experience, how does the city, so the Bayfront, this committee might support this, and the city might support this. Somehow they need to come together.
I guess we'd ask Derek Tokos to explain the model that Nye Beach used to facilitate, okay. and see what it would take to mimic that.
Yeah.
The parking district committees are staffed by city
right.
staff.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's institutional overlap among. Okay. Okay, that helps. Okay, I think I'm good with this, at least to be able to update this and send it around for comments.
Cool.
And I do think this has been very helpful for me, maybe not so much for everyone else in the room, but I feel a little more comfortable with where we're at with these different projects if I get asked. Hopefully
are you going to be supplying them with the copy of the complete streets resolution?
I'm going to see as we develop this. We've got to put together a packet. He brings up a good point. We've got to put together a packet.
Right.
And what the right form, this information needs to get to them in some form. But this is not something that they would read. You don't sit down and read. This is not exactly a story. So. This is what we need. This is perfect. Bob put this together, the sheriff's update of exactly where we're at and the priorities. So this is our little Bible here for sheriffs.
What you can do is, if somebody asks, how did you come up with that calculation? of 120, then you say, you've got this in your back pocket.
Right. Okay, well, I might, you would, you sent this as what kind of document?
It's a PDF. Word? PDF, yeah.
Okay, if you could send me the original, the Word document?
Oh, you didn't get it on your, you got it.
Yeah, but it's a PDF, okay, I can make that work. And I might simplify this a little bit for the packet so it would be easier for them to negotiate. I'll see how far I get.
Would we best talk to Tim about cost per share, or just so that we have correct information?
Yeah.
I think we have that in our minutes. We discussed it at length.
To confirm with him, so that we're on the same page.
Well, you can say you're using X value, but you'll need to confirm that.
And that was an estimate, I think, is that what
that
cost.
Could you run that down? Could you talk to Tim and see?
I can put in a call to him, but
he's on vacation right now.
Okay,
he's hardly had any vacation.
Yeah, so I mean, you could literally use the estimate you have and just note that it needs to be
updated. It was very recent.
Just say it needs to be confirmed by Public Works.
That's always the case, though. Even if you ran the numbers now, they'd have to confirm them.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Does anybody else have anything on this issue?
Well, I was wondering, the letter to ODOT about the sheriffs, is that going to be brought up at that?
So that's the next item on our agenda. That would be the time to bring it up. Yeah. And Mark, could you present that issue to the council?
Yeah. Well, we have two choices here. One, and I would say this applies both to Big Creek Road and to this issue. You have to decide the degree to which you want to distract the other city councilors from anything other than making your case on what you're doing right here.
Well, that is direct. Yeah.
And I'm not saying the other issues aren't important, but you don't want to blend them in as being one and the same necessarily as what you're trying to achieve with this document. They're two very important issues that happen to be hanging out there. Well, one of them's new, the Big Creek thing. The other one's been around for a while. So you could either do it at a work session, or we could, depending on how you discuss it tonight, we could put it into the minutes as an item that needs to be followed up on, which I would then bring up. So it's kind of your choice.
I would like to bring it up as the fact that, you know, we're, as far as the sheriffs on the bridge, the next step is to write this letter, and we are happy to draft the letter.
Okay, that would be a way to do it.
Would the council like us to draft a letter?
That would be a great
way. We already have some of the language for you to send to the state.
Yeah, if you integrate it into that same slide, I think that would be a great way to handle it.
And I think that's a proper way to request it. Yeah,
that'd be good.
Okay.
And I think it'd just be that quick, that simple, and just leave it at that.
Okay. Good. All right. And then next on our agenda is the Big Creek Road discussion.
So I wanted to share with you, there's been a ton of email into the city council on this particular issue, not just the Bike and Bag Committee. Efforts are already underway in terms of what the compromise might be. And so, and again, you know, I can't guarantee anything, but I would say there's a fairly good chance that what would survive the end of the meeting on Monday might be going back to the one way that it was before. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, it's not a guarantee or anything, but that's what I'm hearing.
What's the feasibility of just putting a lowered speed limit, like 20-mile-an-hour speed limit on it?
What is it now, 25?
Probably. But if it's a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit, you could have bicycle traffic going both ways. Well, you could have pedestrians walking and be quite a bit safer.
I would view that as the kind of thing where, since we're noticing this as a public meeting, we're saying that for the record as testimony. You know, as a bicycler, there's a great deal of difference between 20 and 25-mile-an-hour zones.
Yes, it is.
That could be an effective way to do that. Mm-hmm. But people don't adhere to those things. They're going downhill and it says 20.
They don't adhere to it, but it is out there, and I think that, you know, because it's a gravel road anyway, it's going to remain a gravel road, you know, and a lot of cars are going to be going 15 to 20 miles an hour simply because of that. you know, it's because it, in all probability, I would like to see it be one way, you know, and as a bicyclist, yeah. Because that
way. Well, that would be the thing. You would testify that would be your support.
Yeah.
I'd like to suggest that we, you know, the committee members can weigh in as citizens, but at this point, we don't have the time to talk about it and to bring in what was decided in the past, and a lot of the committee members already have their personal opinions on it. Just go testify as a citizen. And in January, if this has not been resolved and if there's some useful way for us to plug in, we'll discuss it.
We just avoid it.
Yeah, and the reason we decided to go with it being noticed as a meeting wasn't that I fully endorsed that that's the best way to do it. It's just your individual testimony. But we had to make sure that there's not somebody in the audience that's going to say, well, gee, you know.
Oh, it was noticed as a,
like we don't want that happening again like happened before where, oh, we have a quorum here, so now you have to leave.
So then just if you comment, then just make it clear that you're not representing that. I sit on the committee, but I'm not representing the committee right now.
Yeah. Good way to do it.
Everybody else good with that?
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
I really think we should send a message to the council saying that we do not approve of that being a two-way road.
Well, I would need a little more discussion before, because I'm new to this issue. It came up several years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no, I have in my mind, I don't have a decision that I would support right now. The people that live down there probably dearly love to be able to go to and fro rather than on the return trip having to go out 101 and then backtrack up. If you lived out there, you'd want it to be two-way and not the highway.
I used to live there.
So the average person.
Did you live there when it was two-way?
Yeah. The email thread that I've been getting. Huh?
It never was two-way.
Came from those folks down here.
And all the years you lived there.
Really because the orange
feet kept falling in. Or 31st
Street, what do you want to
call it? The ones that speak up. I mean, you just.
That was the issue.
Because two different crowds, the ones that talk and the ones that don't.
But the way it's all set up, you know, if you have it just one way coming up the hill, see, coming northbound out of town, you're not sitting out on Highway 101 in the summertime waiting for a half an hour to get out on the highway.
Right.
And they can come up the hill. Coming back out of town, they're coming down and they're taking a right turn. You know, so coming out of town taking 101 is not a problem.
Right.
The problem for those people is when they're trying to get into town, they have to go out and sit at Highway 101 for that interminable amount of time
for
35 cars to go this way and then 35 cars to go this way before they can get out on the road.
Right, that's true.
And so for the people who live there, just going uphill may be just good enough for them. And also for the people who live there, there's a ton of them that walk it. You know, I ride my bicycle on that road constantly, and there's always people walking it.
Right.
You know, so if
there's two-way traffic, it's going to be hazardous for bicycles and pedestrians on that road.
Right.
Period.
Mm-hmm. But I do imagine where the people who live in that little area are probably either non-committal or supporting the one way only. You know, because
if we had to vote on it tonight, I'd probably
I would
be one way.
Well, and actually, if you look at the transportation system plan, it actually calls for a pedestrian and bicycle pathway on Big Creek Road.
So that's something.
And if they make it a two-way thing, there's no way you're going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's not in the TSP to make that a two-way. In the TSP is to actually put a bicycle pedestrian trail in there.
I mean, if there's enough room to make two-way traffic, there's enough room to put that path in there. That's what we feel. That's what I feel.
But they're supposed to be anyway.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, don't see any advantage to us having an official statement. But Alicia, you think differently. You think that we should officially. And why the bike ped committee at this time? Why do you think that?
Because that's our responsibility.
What's that?
To advise it. I mean, we're supposed to. We are the advisory arm. So this would be a classic place where we typically would advise, by definition, I think.
Just a suggestion. Since you have that TSP, you might be able to concur that what your statement would be if you wanted to do a committee would be to simply focus on the fact that hopefully someday there will be a dedicated path.
Yeah.
But certainly trying to make that road two-way eliminates all possibility of that, because there mm-hmm. simply would not be room, you know. And I mean, that's kind of a compromise of continuing to move that direction. But.
And do you agree with that, Alicia?
When Mark stated that, I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. In other words, you don't lose sight of the fact. I was going to offer to you personally that long term, I came at this from a different angle, not only bicycling, but I envisioned that road someday being primarily multimodal, with the only vehicles being able to drive on it are city and utility vehicles that need to use it. But I think before we can ever get to that, there'll be the big cost of some kind of actual bypass, which the city has,
that's what this,
you know, has plans for.
Sigmund Juris states about that, since there was going to be a bypass, this thing here assumed that there was going to be a bypass, that you make that this only district.
Yeah, so that would be a way to approach it.
Well, another caveat for the city is that in an emergency, say there's accidents or whatever on 101 and you need to divert traffic, they can, with, you know, police assistance and whatever, make that two-way, you know, temporarily, because there would be room.
I think somebody gave some examples of one, in fact, that did happen. There was, I can't remember who it was, they brought up a situation where they actually controlled traffic or whatever at both ends for some reason and made it two-way.
So when is the workshop?
Tomorrow night. No, Monday night.
It's Monday. It better not be tomorrow night. You're going to be up pretty late.
Monday. Oh, the workshop, Chuck, is at 11.
No, I mean the Big Creek.
That's it's Big Monday night. It's the Big Creek meeting. It's Monday night, so if we all agree then that as Ken stated it, as Alicia, you know, was... I mean, should we go with that as the committee position? And if someone wants to articulate that at the meeting with their committee hat on, they can do that? Or should we not? I don't have a sense.
I wish it wasn't so soon, but I'd like to talk to some folks that live down there. But
I suspect that it will be discussed.
Yeah. So I probably have more opportunity to weigh in on it as time goes by.
Yeah.
I've just got a feeling it's, you know, it's going to be such a strongly debated item at the Monday night meeting that what we say or don't say isn't going to matter, Tinkers. Well, you know, I mean, the fact that we're made on record as stating something, yes, would be fine. But that's all it's going to be, is just the fact that we stated something, you know.
That's true, but I've been in these council meetings.
So have I.
And they often will read a letter or an email into the record in the open there. They've done it. They torpedoed a couple of our plans by doing that. So that's the reason I think it's important that we get that statement in there.
Well, if you would like to, if somebody would like to draft one and then everybody can have a look at it, we can approve it by email. Are we able to do that? No. But we can look at it and
you know, if people want to respond to you individually instead of having a group email, you could do that, and then you could amend it and then send it out.
Okay,
but
I don't
not
want to be the one.
Hitting the reply all is a problem.
So, Alicia, if you would like to do that, write up a statement, send it to everybody individually, and if nobody has any issue with it, if it's 100%, if everybody's comfortable with that, then you can go ahead and read that from the Bike Ped Committee at the meeting. Otherwise, better to just do your own comment. I'm good with either.
I suppose another option, if you each want to make your own private testimony, and I've asked Peggy if this is, I think this has been done in the past, if you decide on what that letter is, then, much like Sandy reads correspondence into the record as the liaison, I could say I'm going to read the committee's recommendation into the record. If you'd like to do that, as long as I have an agreed to script.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody has to write it and send it around.
You can send it
to
the distribution list, but ask that they respond to you individually rather than hitting reply all.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. We have our...
I was just going to offer to our potential new members that, no, we don't normally meet anywhere near this lot.
Yes, this is...
We knew this. By a little after 7.
Yeah, no, we knew this coming in tonight, that we had a pretty packed agenda. But at this point, we can discuss our interviews and our fabulous applicants and see if we can come to a decision tonight on 2 positions. And then we'll know when Dave decides one way or the other. The first thing, though, before we even get to that, is Alicia, and I understand, Alicia, that you are interested in serving another term?
Yes.
Is that true? Thank you. Appreciate that. And Bob?
2015, it says on here.
Me and you. Chuck. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm reading this wrong.
Sure.
Using the wrong part of my trifocals.
Be happy to be considered again.
Thank you. Good. Okay. And with that, I'll open up to the committee members.
And they're discussion. Welcome to stay or leave, whatever you're comfortable with.
We've never done it in this forum
before.
Or do we ask
them to vote?
No, they can. They're welcome to stay if they want because it is a public meeting.
It's a public meeting.
Yeah, but
do we need to arrive at a conclusion tonight? Are you saying that
you don't have to?
What's the next option to do that?
Well, the next option would be January, and then we're down to the 4 of us having to come.
So we need to do it tonight.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
We've done this before, don't you remember?
So I would like to... Well,
actually, I need to excuse myself. I have to pick up a prescription over for Myers.
Sorry we kept you so late. Well, the first thing, if you could just stay for 10 seconds, what I really wanted to say is that we just have 4 really highly motivated and qualified applicants, and we really appreciate that. That's a really good place for us to be right now as a committee. And also, since we have 2 openings and 4 people, it means that we have a pool in case this other position comes up as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
very interesting. Well.
Are you all parked in the front or the back?
I'm out back.
Oh, you can go out that door.
I'm out of way.
Okay.
And you can go out that door.
I just wanted to thank everyone, too, for all the discussion. It was actually very helpful for all of us to hear you all discuss the priorities at this meeting. I thought it was great. I learned more about all of them.
Does anybody want to withdraw their application?
We're just running away. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The time constraints of Fred Myers just sticking out for them. We're taking a trip tomorrow.
Nice to have a great evening. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
So what's the
what? Voting on...
Just voting on committee members.
This is
so.
A question of how embarrassed will I be?
There is absolutely no reason for any of you guys to be embarrassed because we're happy to have you. But
what's the fastest way to get to a conclusion without not allowing the process to be fully vetted? Is there a recommendation you have for how we... Do we just say one person and vote on that one person?
What you can do is... what I would recommend is your top... Identify your top 3, only because you're likely going to have another vacancy if Dave resigns. So that way you would already know. And if Dave resigns before Monday or before January, we could plug that next person in. You don't have to sit here and discuss the individual qualifications of every applicant. It's probably easier. I mean, you're welcome to do handwritten votes, but you have to put your name on it, and I have to read it out loud. So it's pointless.
No.
Okay. Who don't we want?
I would feel comfortable just going through. I'll take the first shot if you guys want. But so I would say my first choice would be Amanda, because she's so highly qualified. So I first want to say that all 4 of the candidates to me had equal and extremely high motivation and reasons for wanting to be part of this committee, and what they contribute would be highly valued for all 4. Then when we get into the experience and what they specifically bring, I would say Amanda was the most qualified Susan would be the second most qualified. Marcia, I think, the third. And I think Skip, I really do hope that Skip does join a committee, but I'm not sure that this is the best match committee for him, or at least in, I would put him as my fourth choice for that reason.
I concur with your logic there and your thought process, and I would mimic your choice there. I would just say what she said.
I have just a little discrepancy with that, but Susan and Marcia definitely. And I'm not real sure about Amanda. And therefore, I'll put Chuck in for the third one.
Skip. Okay, so you had Marcia?
Marcia, Susan, and Skip.
Okay.
I am definitely on board with Amanda because of her qualifications. I think that it would be a big omission not to have that knowledge on our committee. And I like Susan because she's a walker. She's been around and someone who knows the streets. I like that.
Been around the block a couple of times.
Street smart.
Yeah. I like some of Skip's input.
The Cheryl thing was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems to have a pretty good insight. So I would put Amanda and Susan and Skip.
Well, and wait a minute, has everyone done this? Yes. So, oh, wow.
The only reason I was down with Amanda, I don't give that enough time to put in this committee. She seems like a very busy person.
I think she has the time. She has the time.
I think she has the...
She's been to two of our meetings so far.
Yes.
She's been an observer.
Yeah, yes.
So she's motivated to be here.
Yeah, I think she has the motivation to be here.
And well, it's a coin toss.
Well, it looks like there's pretty good consensus on Amanda and Susan, three of the four. Mm-hmm. And then Alicia had Marcia and Susan. But then if you also look at the third one, which you're probably going to be looking at filling anyway, that's not so easy.
It's kind of a tie there for that third person.
Yeah, it's tied between Marcia and Skip equally.
I think they're both really great. I like, that's a tough one. Yeah. Well, at first I thought Skip was a ringer because he was talking about these sheriffs, you know. But then he said something else and told me he wasn't a ringer because he didn't know what we were. Yeah. I forget what it was. I thought,
he's not a walker, and because he's got a health issue, and he's a new cyclist. He doesn't have so he doesn't have that experience. But he struck me as having kind of an eye and a feel for this. He knew right out of the gate, that there are cycling issues and there are cycling solutions, and I kind of liked his attitude. It's a toss up, and I would just vote for Skip because I liked his presentation.
One of the things about Skip that the other interviewees didn't have is that he has a desire to serve the city, to serve his community. And there are many opportunities. And I know that there are a lot of committees that that don't have people with specific interest in that topic. And so I feel like he is going to have a lot of options for being. I would highly encourage him, with his interest, to become part of the city committee structure. I really hope that he winds up on a committee. Whether if it's our committee, I think we'd be lucky to have him, but I think that there are other committees that might snatch him up so quick.
Yeah.
Is that true? I mean,
we do struggle with committee.
Well, if the three of you are happy with Marsha, I'm okay with him. You know. I don't know that we have to be unanimous, but we
don't
to,
have to
we,
be.
We don't want to be. A 2-2.
No
struggle.
Yeah, that's the problem with four.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No tiebreaker.
Yeah, but basically, the three of you would support Marsha, right?
Yeah, that's, I would.
Right? Yeah. Because all of you have supported Marsha in your votes. Mm-hmm. So you know, I would be good with that.
Okay. So one question. So is the idea that it was clearly Amanda and Susan for the two that are currently open?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And then Marsha
for
third
the
one if it opens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of them ran out of here screaming, so we weren't able to eliminate one.
Yeah, we thought we'd wear somebody out. Make our
trial by fire or whatever.
So
Susan, this will go to the council now, and they make the decision. We're just making a recommendation.
So how often do they change it? Or
well, you have a term.
You have a term.
No. How often do they not go by a recommendation?
Oh, never. Oh, that's never.
So congratulations.
Do you read the newspaper? About every issue of the newspaper, there's.
They agree on committee members on everything else they disagree. So.
You know, okay. I think of one more thing. When you asked me what would make me bicycle again, and I was thinking back to, I kept my, when I had an office in the, what do they call it now, the downtown area, uptown area? I don't know. It was called uptown at one time. You know, the deserted part. I had an office there for a while, and I brought my bicycle to the office to try to just see if I could ride it around the city, and I almost got hit once then, too, and that was kind of the end of it for me. There was no place to lock my bike in this town. It was, and it's not any better now. The library has a bike rack. I think Walmart got rid of theirs when they remodeled.
So did the aquarium.
I would ride my bike around. And I mean, it wasn't worth that much, but it was like a $300 bike, and I didn't want to have it get ripped off. If there wasn't a stop sign or something around, that's probably not even legal. I mean, there was no place to put my bike.
We've worked on that issue. We
have to start
really get involved.
Adopt a bike rack.
Well, was that? Option. I mean, how
cool thing.
Businesses sponsor it.
Yeah.
Committee, private.
Well, actually, I'm thinking that I need to bring this up to Danielle and bring it up to the chamber.
Yes,
you
may.
Really need to go to the businesses.
Wrap up the meeting and then we can continue.
See about getting some bike parking.
Sorry.
Just want to wrap up the meeting, then we can continue the conversation.
So procedurally,
or not?
What?
Or not?
That's up to you guys. So
there'll be a.
Yeah.
Agenda item written up for this.
For
the requesting
for
the
appointments. I'll just give Sandy the.
Oh, that's right.
I'll just put the applications in the packet, and then Sandy will make the appointment, and then you will make the motion to ratify her appointment, and somebody will second it.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Good.
All right.
Is that okay?
Yep, that's good.
Okay. So the next thing on the agenda is committee comments. Does anyone have any comments?
No. I would like
a couple of quick comments, committee comments. Hang on.
Wait, one more on the agenda, too.
What's that?
The comments about the 101 crosswalks. Isn't that
Yes. Somebody was going to give us a quickie overview.
Oh, right.
Four of us went. The four committee members were all there, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was.
And it was a done deal before
it
we
is,
got there.
It is what it is. So what are we getting? Stamps, cement, or what are we getting?
We're getting curbs, bullnoses poured, and if we're damn lucky, we get a little dirt and a couple pieces of
beach
grass.
In all of them?
In all of them. Okay. And it was a done deal. There was no comments to be added, no changes to be made. And be lucky you get some beach grass, buddy.
And as a sidebar to that, City of Toledo is embarking upon doing a beautification project within their city, of course, to put migrating salmon and steel separating the travel lanes along with their flower baskets and things. Mm-hmm. So it shows you some sort of priority towards the aesthetic and the function.
Yeah. And the light on, what is it?
Ninth?
Third. No, not third. Third. Third doesn't exist. The night on, the light on third may come at a later time.
Yeah.
May. You know, and that's the dangerous one. You know, that's the...
So it sounds like when we saw the little article saying that costs have gone up somewhat, we know what got eliminated first.
And they're still struggling a little bit to backfill the, what, about $100,000 of money that's needed to actually do the project as it's envisioned now.
Yeah, I think they're about $80,000 short.
So they already went over an engineering cost by $50,000 or whatever it was. It just looks...
Do they still have...
That's Evans? A lot of beach craft.
Do they still have Evans and Waite?
What's that?
They don't still have Evans and Waite, do they, for their engineering?
ODOT?
Yeah. Oh, it's ODOT.
David Evans.
David Evans. Yeah, David Evans was... Yeah, he's gone, right? Okay.
I like that. Evans and then Waite.
Yeah.
So the city has no input.
Do we cheat them and how? Attorneys. Remember that one?
We have input, but
so
there is no money.
No, well, one of the things I've never understood is why nobody ever goes and talks to the master gardeners about making it one of their projects.
There are issues with volunteers, but we'll catch you up after the meeting. We got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. So then committee comments. I just have one quick comment. We talked about having a big map. I would like take that the next step. I don't know who I should...
Well, what we found out was we don't have a master GIS layer, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't be good to have a big map to start putting stuff on.
Three maps.
Yeah, three. Zoom north, in more.
Yeah. North, central, south.
No, just one big map.
So what I can do is... we produced, I don't know if we got them yet or not, we requested those same, the one big city map busted up into smaller sections for the wayfinding committee. So I'll check and see if we can get a set of those for this committee.
Here's a suggestion I was given by Lux and Rec, is that we borrow their GPS system. The city has a GPS system. And when we walk it or ride it, whatever it is, then we can put it directly into the GIS system without somebody entering it in the GIS system.
So Parks and Rec suggested that? Mm-hmm. I guess I must have been there and heard that. I'm glad you remembered that. Yeah, I do recall that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And my last comment is just, again, I'd like to say for the record to thank the committee members for their interest and to encourage Skip to become part of the city committee structure.
Well, and to attend your meetings as he finds
and time to attend our meetings as well. And with that, there's no other comments.
Well, I did want to mention that I was going to do it under public comment, but I overlooked it because actually the information just came in today. The school district has decided to go ahead and apply for to get into the Bicycle Transportation Alliance's Jumpstart program, which supplies 36 bicycles and a trailer and training for teachers to get training in the middle school.
Cool.
Fiscal, you know, for the school year 14-15.
Okay.
So, I mean, this has been a big issue trying to get the school district to go along with trying to get the bike kit in school. Now we've actually got somebody from the school district that is going to go ahead and fill out the paperwork to get that application into the BTA. To get that bike yet in the schools.
Awesome.
So part of the Safe Routes to School.
Does that application provide not only the equipment but somebody to do the training or?
Yep.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And actually I have a certified training myself. I'm still here or I can come back and do it, whatever.
Great.
I'll be probably working with the BTA no matter where I go. So
where are they going to get the 36 bicycles?
From the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. They already have them.
They're
loaners.
Oh, they're loaners.
They're not a gift. They're loaners.
Okay.
They'll be loaners for a year.
Neat. Interesting, yeah.
So
that's for teaching kids how to ride bikes,
too.
Yeah,
wow,
use the roadways. Use the roadways to properly use the bicycle.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, that's great news.
So,
cool deal.
Okay, with that, we'll adjourn.
All right, good job.
Hallelujah, brother.
I'm going to try to put on a bike.
I need my 430.
Well, I'm
seeing it.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how much charged up.
She's going to be an invited guest to her. Is she going to make a presentation? Yes.
And when do we want to do our
I'll send you information.
I'm going to do it after the first of the year when I do all of them.
Okay.
So you're going to send me the information?
I think I stole your pen.
Sorry.